The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Yeah, like that. Yeah,
yeah. You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and we're still basking in the glow of a big Patriots win over the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. It was a step up for the defense. Talked about that yesterday. We'll keep talking about it today, as well as what's going on with the bye. The Patriots had practice today, their last one of the week, and they had open locker room access. So the guys will be here shortly. I'm Fred Kirsch. Kevin's in the booth. Andy and Paul will be here with Eric in any minute now. And we'll talk about who's talking in the locker room. I saw Wes Welker had a big crowd around him. And Bill Belichick had a press conference this morning, so we'll talk about all of that. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, webradio at Patriots.com. The phone number is 508-298-0398. That's the ACE ticket hotline, 508-298-0398, down here at the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. So Paul's getting settled in. He just came from the locker room. So he'll fill us in with what's going on in there. What kind of locker room was going on today?
Well, you were there. You saw it.
Oh, I left early, though.
A little quiet today.
Yeah.
Just kind of what you would expect. Guys getting ready to, you know, get a few days off. One last practice today, and I think they're going to have, what, 5 days off or something like that. Bill talked about, you know, kind of wanting them to step away from football a little bit. Get your mind off of it. Get some rest and relaxation. Injured guys, get your treatment that you need to get in. Kind of recharged, refocused, re-energized for the rest of the way. And
okay.
That was the message, really, from most players in the locker room. I did talk to Kevin Faulk a little bit. I said, what do you got? He goes, I'm still walking. Yeah. So he obviously practiced for the first time yesterday. Said he felt good. Good to be out there, all the stuff
that
you
expect.
That's
probably one guy who doesn't want to get his mind off football.
You know what I noticed today in looking at him is looks really thin.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I said
that, and somebody was like, oh, you're crazy. I said he looked like he had lost some size.
Yeah,
I was concerned about that.
Yeah, well, I wonder if he was maybe trying to get some of the quickness back.
Possibly, but I worry about now the durability without that size.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, but he did. He looks noticeably thinner to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, some people came over. I didn't want to get into anything like that in front of other people because I didn't know if he'd feel comfortable with that.
Right.
You know, if there was a reason why he lost the weight or whatever, I didn't want to put him on just a potentially uncomfortable spot.
But I noticed that, you know, I've been noticing it, and to me it's a concern because when you know, what is he, 5'9"?
Yeah.
Most?
Yeah, 5'8",
you know,
5'9".
When you're like that, you need that extra bulk to kind of, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew. You know, he's a big guy, even though he's small, you know?
Yeah.
He's very sturdy. You can't be a Wes Welker size and be a running back. You just can't do it. Not that he is,
but you can be a scat. I mean, like Darren Sproles is small and he's pretty thin.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, Kevin has been a guy who's been thick to me. Not fat.
Right.
By any means.
No,
thick.
I'm not. Right, exactly.
And he looked a little bit thinner.
Right.
Me.
So, he, like you said, he did practice for the first time yesterday as well as a couple other guys off the PUP. So they'll be taken off after today. And
yeah. Now, where are some guys that spoke today? You know, Gronk spoke. Wes Welker spoke. Patrick Chung I saw with a group. I wasn't in on all of these, but basically the ones that I did hear was talking about, looking forward to getting some time off and getting rested up, and that seemed to be what most people were talking about. But there were a fair amount of players who had the big group interviews around them. Quiet day, though.
Yeah.
And Bill was sort of lighthearted today, but not really very revealing.
Right. I heard somebody was upset because he wouldn't reveal whether or not Tom Brady was at practice yesterday.
Which I thought, was ridiculous on the part of the reporter and anybody else. The original question was, Tom wasn't out there during the portion that we're allowed to watch during our window. Was he out there, or was he just not, did we just not see him, or was that part of just a little rest, a little extra day off? And Bill had went through a convoluted, I don't really take roll call out there, I'm not really sure, and he made it sound as if he didn't know if Brady was out there. Now, to me, if you're a reporter, what's your next question?
You don't know that your quarterback was out there?
Very simple, right? Yeah. And you don't have to be all confrontational about it. Bill, just to be clear, do you not know if Tom was out at practice yesterday?
Right.
It's a simple question.
Right.
And now you make him say, no, I don't know, or, as you probably suspect, well, he was out there and you guys just didn't see him.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
Very simple. You don't have to, it's not a confrontational question, but you would have thought that reporter was told to go home and no longer be here because you're not welcome.
Right.
Are you telling me that he didn't know if he was out? No. No one's telling you that.
Right.
But you never asked him that. So you'll never know.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, there was no follow-up.
If there was ambiguity to the answer, that was probably intentional on Bill's part.
Right.
So make him clarify.
Right. So
just another, that's why they hate us. That's why they hate us.
I caught a little glimpse of something that's coming up on Friday on Patriots All Access. They had
Yes, I meant to tweet that out. Thank you for reminding
me. Yeah, they had Matt Light, Tom Brady, and Kevin Falk,
the three longest tenured Patriots,
right, with Scott Zolak in studio, and they were, nice little roundtable. It was really interesting. I didn't see it all, but I caught one part of it, and it was really funny because, Zolak asked, of the three of you, who's the guy that gets away with the most, that can go up and talk to Bill, and I think Matt Light was the guy who kind of got volunteered for that, but Matt Light said, well, it's really his son, Gerard Mayo. And they were making fun of it. They call him Gerard Belichick because, I guess he's the guy that is the favorite.
Oh, yeah.
You
can just see that in everything that Bill talks about.
Yeah.
He loves the way that Mayo goes about his business, but yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that is funny.
Gerard Belichick.
I'm not surprised to hear Light say that. and I'm not surprised that the other two nominated Light.
Right.
Because Light seems like he has that Vrabel-like relationship with Bill,
right,
before it went bad with Vrabel. Where, he can sort of get away with some zingers at the coach, he has that dry wit.
He says he says the zingers, but he's never sure if Bill gets them.
Oh, really?
Or likes them. He'll say, I'll go into his office and I'll be like, so, Bill, what's the deal with the bye? What's going to be the schedule? And, I'll be talking and he'll just be staring at me. And I don't know if I should just keep talking. I feel like I need to keep talking because he doesn't say anything.
He does that a lot in press conferences, too.
Yeah.
There's times where you ask a question, you think it's a simple enough question, and you get that pause, and you feel like you need to say something else to either clarify yourself or, show him that you know more.
Right.
I don't know.
So
Andy's here.
Andy's here. What do you got to say? Who'd you talk to in the locker room?
Wes Welker. Rob Gronkowski, he made me laugh when he said he's gonna tell everybody to stay out of trouble during the lockout, but couldn't even keep a straight face when he said he laughed and giggled.
I'm sure he's got plans.
Just chilling.
That's what he's doing.
My guess is
my opinion of just chilling and his opinion of just chilling may be different based on the YouTube videos I've seen.
I have a prediction for Rob Gronkowski during the bye week. I will guarantee that we will see, and I don't know anything, by the way, before I say this, but I'll guarantee you'll see him as one of those current players involved in some sort of pregame show or media type thing, you know, either, you know, guest spot on ESPN or like Rome is, you know, some kind of show he'll be on. Yeah, not just radio, he'll be on TV.
No, he might be on NFL the CBS Network. Pregame show because that's what they do. They take the bye week guys and they put him on.
Yeah, he'll be on one of those shows.
Hmm. Sure.
He won't be on that one though.
No.
He's not a big enough name yet for that. They do usually like legit veteran decade long Pro Bowl types.
Okay.
Oh, Christian Ponder will start this week, huh?
So will Carson Palmer.
Start? Really?
Don't forget
so
Palmer
much for picking up a system.
Yeah, but don't forget he knows the system.
That's true. It's Hugh Jackson. So.
But it's still surprising that he would start. Yeah. I agree with you. It's surprising that he would start.
Yeah.
I'll be picking the Chiefs.
I guess for, you know, basically two first-round picks, you better start, right? And all they have to do is win a playoff game.
You know what I like about the conditional picks?
No. To make it, it's go to the AFC title game.
Oh, they have to go to the AFC championship.
So it's basically a one and a two because they ain't going to the first AFC title game. But I like conditional picks when it's a high pick. A high conditional pick, so it's either a two or a one, we go with the one. When it's a low pick, like Brandon Lloyd is either a six or a five, we go with the six.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all they had to do was pay a sixth for Brandon Lloyd and cost two ones for Carson Palmer.
It's the point you're making.
Right, exactly. It's when they, because it was on the low end, you go with the lowest. See how little they had to give up, but it's on the high end, and it's see how much they had to give up?
Well, Hugh Jackson thinks it was a steal. Greatest trade in football
history. Greatest trade in football.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
He should be asked to pee in a cup.
Speaking of that, the league announced...
I didn't...
No, the league announced they're going to start collecting blood for HGH tests on Monday.
And didn't the players say, no, you're not?
No, but not I don't know if they did, but that's...
I thought the latest was they're still not comfortable.
Well, they may not be comfortable, but...
What, are they going to hold players down and jab them? You can't take blood from a guy who doesn't want blood taken.
It'll be fined, I guess.
No, they can't.
No?
It's not a unilateral decision.
If they haven't agreed on it, they're not going to get fined
for it.
Well,
they made this announcement today, according to Albert
Breer. They announced before week one that they'd be taken in week one.
They've made announcements. Greg Aiello has
just made announcements. Just like the NFL announced that we've agreed to the CBA. Well, no, the players haven't, so you've announcing nothing. You can't have a collective bargaining agreement without a collective agreement.
Collecting and a bargaining?
Well, they continue to do this, make announcements that they're not in position to make.
Well,
I'm announcing that I'm going to bang Katy Perry tonight.
Wow.
She doesn't know it, but I've just announced it, that I'm going to bang Katy Perry tonight. Right?
Andy Hart.
When are you announcing your
Jumbo
divorce?
Jumbo Hart. NFL announcement.
Oh, I think I could get a pass.
Like me banging Katy Perry.
Oh, I think if Katy Perry were willing, I could bang her and go back to
Beth. If Beth is listening, she does not get a pass.
For Bon Jovi?
For Bon Jovi.
Yeah, Paul's wife is going to bang Bon Jovi tonight.
Oh, there you go.
Listen, I don't really like the way this is taking an ugly turn. You don't think she's coming back to this disgusting fat body after she hits pay dirt, do you?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the agreement. It's a one-time thing.
I'm banging Katy Perry.
What if that's the same thing? You can't make announcements.
What if Bon Jovi had to wear a Paul Pirillo mask while she's doing it,
and a fat suit?
Kevin liked that one.
You could hear him laugh through the glass.
You getting us food? No, we got no food today.
Oh boy,
no pizza today, Freddie.
I just had a PB&J.
Wait a minute, there's no pizza today?
No, there's no conference calls today.
Oh, I quit then. That's it.
I'm out.
Thanks a lot.
Travesty.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. So what was Bill talking about?
We're going to struggle with shows today and tomorrow, you know that?
A lot of random stuff.
Yeah.
Whether Tom Brady was or was not at practice, he didn't
I
take roll call.
Poo-pooing
the whole scrimmage, as I did yesterday. As soon as I read that thing and said, wait a minute, this thing happened in shells and shorts? It was a walkthrough. Welker just said it was a walkthrough. It was a situational walkthrough.
To me was amazing how many questions that elicited today.
Yeah.
And
Eric wasn't even involved.
As per usual, the first question got the only answer that was relevant. It wasn't really that kind of a scrimmage. It was more of a situational workout.
Right.
And it was good to go over a lot of those things that come up. And, you know, we had a lot of random situations. The only answer you needed. But yet, like three questions later, someone would say, you know, with that scrimmage yesterday. And I was like, if you're really listening, it really wasn't a scrimmage yesterday.
Yeah.
He's answered it several times. And again, that's when, you know, when I get to Bill and I defend their side of things, when they don't tell us a lot of stuff, that's when I take their side. You guys don't listen. He's telling you what they did and you're not listening to it. You think it's something different. And yet you guys keep asking different questions. And I heard people asking all the players about it in the locker room as if they might say something different than what Bill said. And I heard Brian Hoyer was talking about it. And he said, yeah, it's good to get out there and just to get an opportunity to take. For him, that's great. That's invaluable right. For him and Ryan Mallett.
Sure.
But
maybe that's why Brady may not have been there, because they were going to get all the snaps.
I'm sure that had something to do with it.
We don't need you, Tom.
Tom Brady doesn't need to go over every situation since he's done it over the last 10 years right. plenty of times.
And my guess is at some point he was there.
Based on Bill's answer, that would be my guess too, is that he was there. But and I said, I don't know, that really bothered me just because.
Well, he was here today.
If you want to be so adamant about it, well, he was here yesterday.
I mean, he was here yesterday because he filmed that thing.
Yeah, and we saw him in the locker room yesterday. Matter of fact, he had to wear a Michigan State shirt because he and Mesko were both in Michigan State shirts that Hoyer made them wear.
Right.
From Michigan losing to Michigan
State.
But
he violated the sanctity of the wager by putting a Patriots thing on for that thing. Because the whole point of the bet is to get the guy on camera wearing your shirt, your Michigan State shirt.
Right.
And he ruined it by taping that with the Patriots shirt on.
He might have had to. They might have made him do that. So.
Violates the sanctity of the bet.
Right.
Then he should have to do his press conference next week in a Michigan State shirt.
Oh, maybe.
If I'm Brian Hoyer, you have not fulfilled the requirements of the wager.
I don't want to get involved in all that. Showing that catch on TV.
I don't think you needed to do all access in a Michigan State shirt, though.
I do.
That's a little much. I'm with Freddie.
Yeah.
As I normally am, as you know.
Sure.
Fred and I, we lockstep on a lot of these things.
Fat old guys of a feather.
But it just bothered me, and Andy, I know I already said it to you too, but it just bothered me that you didn't like an answer. You thought there was some ambiguity to his answer, and you were so upset about it that you were MFing all over the place when the press conference is over, but yet you didn't think to ask him to clarify. So are you saying that you didn't know if he was out there? And I don't think that's a confrontational question at all. I think you could say, so Bill, just, you know, can you clarify, was Tom at practice yesterday, or do you not know? Now you make him say one way or the other. I think that's noteworthy. If he answered that question and legitimately said, I don't know, that's noteworthy to me. That's a note. At the very minimum, that's a note in your notebook. If the head coach really didn't know if Tom Brady was at practice, we know that he
knew. I was going to say, really didn't know or said he didn't know.
Right.
No, but we know that he knows he was out there or not.
Right.
So, if you really feel that strongly about it, that you have to know, ask him.
Right.
He doesn't know if Brady was out there, but he knows Ron Brace, the certain percentage he dropped into coverage as a 4-3 defensive lineman at BC four years ago.
With Raji. He could have given you Raji's totals, too.
Right. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Is the phone number at the Ace Ticket Hotline. We've got some emails coming in.
It's going to be a heavy Coke day, Andy. I got nothing to eat.
Easy.
We have to figure something out for lunch.
You guys are incapable of packing a lunch?
Yes. I am incapable of doing
that.
I didn't think
I needed to. I just assumed that we'd have pizza.
My time in the morning is valuable. I don't use it to be preparing food.
What are you doing in the morning that's so valuable?
Well, first of all, he has to be here at like 4 a.m.
Right.
He's probably already in the press box for the game when we, you know.
I won't beat Mike Reese, though. He'll be there before me.
No, don't tell me that Mike Reese is already there when you go up there.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Not even close, Paul. Not even close. He's there a good 4 or 5 hours before the game starts.
Yeah, but I get here 4 hours before the game starts. Yeah, but your door is closed.
Yeah, but I don't go up there, right? I'm up in the club doing other things.
Oh,
especially
all these 4 o'clock games. Andy and I have been getting here four and a half hours before the game. Yeah. Your door is closed.
Yeah, I don't get to the
press. And you have nowhere to be
found. Get to the press box till 2 hours before.
No, Reese tweeted, I think at 10?
10 for a 4 o'clock
for
game.
For a 4 o'clock game last week from the press box.
That's insane.
Yeah, well, you got to have breakfast with the coach, then you got to see the owner in his office, and then you got
to... Wow, now you're taking it to an ugly place.
Well, Mike is in. So, let's talk. You have Felger today.
I do.
I was talking to somebody from 98.
I wonder if we're going to talk about the Patriots today.
Well, I was talking to somebody from 98.5 who was down here earlier. Not a talent, a tech person.
Oh, never mind.
Knows you very well, though. And he said that, you know, he was like, oh, you know, Paul gets along with Felger. Well, you know, he has very good chemistry with him. You know, Felger used to, you know, do the stuff here. We used to have epic battles over here. And he goes, yeah, what does he call your newspaper? Sunshine.com? I'm like, well, I go, this is where Felger's a fraud, because when he was on the beat here, no one was in the organization more than Mike Felger. I said, even more so than Mike Reese is right now, Felger was in. And then he went to radio and realized, oh, I got to, you know, have a little bit more of an edge to me. But, you know, he's a fraud when it comes to the Sunshine.com stuff.
Yep. Yeah, but I like it.
Oh yeah,
I have my own theme music.
It's fun
when I go on.
Right, it's the Brady Bunch or something like that. Oh, yeah. Great. So yeah,
plus it keeps me out of trouble, Freddie.
You might actually.
If I'm considered Sunshine.com, I got to figure I'm playing it okay.
You might actually talk
about
Paul Perillo, but
Patriots,
I don't know.
Football Weekly,
because this Red Sox thing
just won't die.
No, it won't.
Well, basically because the Red Sox keep lying.
Right, they keep making it worse. So, get ready for an hour of that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah. So, what side do you fall on that?
I think it's despicable what the players did and how they quit on the coach. And obviously the coach didn't have, he doesn't like to be called coach. The manager certainly couldn't do anything about it. So there's plenty of blame to go around, but I think it all stems from the top. I think the guys that are running the show are questionable characters.
Yes, now Schilling, Pete Schilling, Kurt Schilling said that they're bad people.
See, I don't know them, so I don't want to say that specifically. But
Kurt Schilling said.
My outside view is that that is accurate. Yeah. I don't trust them. I don't think they're high moral people, but I don't know them.
Yeah. I'm just saying what Schilling said.
I don't think you really have to know them. I mean, their actions are not the actions of good people.
Yeah, and if
you believe that they were the source on the Francona stuff, and you don't know that for a fact.
I do believe that, but I don't
know.
Then
they're bad people. I mean, if you believe that to be a fact, then the fact is they're bad people.
But I do know those two things are equal. Some specific things that they lied about. And John Henry lied about something. Fred, and you and I were talking about this morning.
Right.
He went on with Felger to defend his name. You heard about that. He was just driving around.
Oh, I know.
And drove,
everybody's heard about
and
it.
Heard it. Sure. And he actually showed up at the radio station and went on to defend himself. And said unequivocally that the guy who wrote the story in the Globe, Bob Holler, said that the source was not.
Right.
Red Sox ownership.
The top three.
To which Joe Sullivan, the editor of the sports department in the Boston Globe, went on Felger and Maz on Monday to refute that, saying Bob Holler has not stated who is or isn't
and will
the
not.
Source and won't. And
ever.
We will not reveal the source. We do not do that at the Boston Globe.
Right.
So that's a flat-out lie.
Yeah.
So to Andy's point, you know that. You know that there's you know, questionable character there.
Right. He's
But it's a mess, and it just isn't going to get any better. They just need to stop and just say, listen, the 2011 season didn't go the way we wanted it to go. We're all very disappointed about that. We're doing everything we can to ensure that that doesn't happen, and we put the best product possible on the field for 2012.
But it's almost like, you know, they think that at some point there's going to be this backlash for getting rid of Francona, who I think most people liked. He's a very likable guy. And I think they're trying as much as they can to tarnish his image.
They don't need to do it. There's enough evidence out there that they were well within their rights to make a change.
Right.
It's unfortunate, but time had come. And Terry himself said that. I wasn't getting through to them.
They don't need to do it. I don't know why. They're paranoid about that. All right, let's go to some emails and talk
to
the Patriots.
Sox.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. This one's from Jason in Chiba, one of our listeners from Japan. I say one because we have several.
Do we?
Oh, sure.
What
says,
are the other names?
Sup, Cork Soakers. Thanks, Monkeys, for bringing that back. Not sure if you noticed this, but at 9:29 in the second quarter of this past game, I caught something interesting on the TV broadcast. Brady looked over in the direction of Wes Welker and Branch and gave them the Randy Moss splitting the D TD dance slash hand gesture. On the play, Welker went deep, had to turn from looking over his right shoulder to his left, just lost the ball by a few inches, and it fell incomplete. At the risk of giving away trade secrets, though I'm sure every NFL team has seen this already, What do we make of that? Am I imagining things, or is that what I think it is? I'm not sure. I mean,
I don't understand the question. I didn't see it.
So I know he's, you know, looked over at Moss before and give him a hand signal, and Moss just takes off and puts his hand up. Is that what he's referring to? I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's something we can look at and see if we can see the signal.
Yeah.
But the separation signal from Moss, this thing, I don't remember seeing Brady do that, but maybe we can take
but
a look.
But they have signals. Some of them are just nods.
They absolutely do.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
When I nod to you, it means this. He also has some of the hand signals. So.
And when we used to do that sight adjustment, Freddie? Sight adjustment?
Yep.
You'd nod your head?
I don't remember that.
That was a Walpole Park South thing.
Oh. What was that when we were playing? Mm-hmm. Oh,
you also don't remember when you thought John Gruden was going to be the next head coach of the New England Patriots. So.
That's interesting. That,
we got
that
into this
Andy
big argument yesterday. Not an argument, but
that's good, Andy, because this is we're not going to have a whole lot of material to chew through here.
And this is a little bit of self-scouting for us.
Yes. I want the listeners to let us know, do you remember when we have our little hypothetical off-season kind of things, that if the day comes someday when Bill Belichick is no longer the coach of this team, who Fred Kirsch wanted to take over? Now, I remember he used to say a lot, Jeff Fisher, mm-hmm. and then he sort of soured on Fisher with that whole
right.
cheap shot thing and
right.
and the Rodney Harrison game and all yep. that stuff. Andy contends that he fell in love with John Gruden and wanted John Gruden. I remember to an extent, but never the love affair that Andy claims. So I'm interested.
Right, right.
The listeners.
It was your answer. And you based it in a feeling that the Crafts might like him.
Okay.
You had some sort of a feeling, an interpretation.
Yeah, I might have said
so
that
once. How many people out there remember Fred Kirsch expressing a desire for John Gruden to replace Bill Belichick someday, if when Belichick steps down? Not.
And if that's the case, I'm going back on it because I don't think they'd have any desire now. He comes with too much, you know, bravado. Not bravado, but too much other stuff. He's too much of a celebrity now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Maybe he'll really just stay in TV. Maybe he likes the lifestyle, the celebrity, the everything.
Yeah, could be.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Skip Bayless is insane. Go ahead.
Why? He's got his power rankings?
Well, they're like moving the helmets around and, you know, the AFC power rankings, and I think his Cordell Stewart had Baltimore with the Patriots and then San Diego. And Skip Bayless has not only moved the Patriots ahead, but he has San Diego ahead, Pittsburgh ahead
of
Baltimore.
That's crazy.
Pittsburgh hasn't been more impressive than Baltimore for one split second of the first 6 weeks of the NFL
season. They're barely beating the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He moved it again.
They're barely beating everybody they played.
Right.
And not only that, those two teams played each other, and it wasn't a competitive game.
Am I wrong to be not worried at all about this game in Pittsburgh coming up in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Not worried at all?
Not worried at all.
Yes, you're wrong for that.
Two words, Mike Wallace.
Yeah.
I think he's capable of single-handedly
The last time they played him and Mike Wallace was playing?
Yes.
And they put up 30 points.
Yeah, but
just because you scored 100. That's...
Yeah, that game was never in doubt. There was some garbage.
But it wasn't in doubt because the Patriots' offense made it that
way. And that's
way.
Not the question. The question is there zero chance that the Steelers beat you? And you think there's zero chance.
I'm
no
not,
fear.
No. Did I just say that?
Yes.
Yes, you just said this.
I said I'm not worried. That doesn't mean zero chance. It means 20% chance.
I'm sorry.
20%
okay,
chance.
Okay, well, that's
win.
Not the same thing.
80% chance your team wins, you're not worried.
Well, okay.
Of course, there's a chance that the Patriots play the Arizona Cardinals and they beat them. You know,
I think there's a 0% chance.
Yeah.
And I think that when someone says, I'm not worried about fill in the blank, they think there's a 0% chance.
I'm not worried about Pittsburgh. You can interpret
that. But he's 20% worried.
You can interpret that anyway. No, if the Patriots
if they play five times, Pittsburgh will win one.
If Tom Brady throws four interceptions, yeah, Pittsburgh has a chance.
Listening to your explanation, I'm 100% on board with you.
Me too. But I think there's a chance. When you have playmaking pass rushers like they do and playmakers on offense like they do, you can lose.
Are you worried?
No.
Neither am I. So
but I think
agree.
They could win.
But wait a minute. Am I worried?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm worried about the things that Andy just
said. Okay, so you are worried.
Do I think they're going to lose the game? No.
Yeah.
And I think there's an 80% chance that they'll win it.
But all those things that could happen, I don't think will.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
That's
but
that's why I'm not worried.
But it doesn't mean I'm not worried.
This is going down
worried.
An ugly road.
I'm not
that's
worried.
All.
What does worried
no,
mean?
No, I'm with Fred.
I am too, except I can acknowledge the reasons the Patriots could lose.
Oh, I can too.
Yeah. To
but
me,
I'm not worried about
To
them.
Me, when I'm not worried, I'm playing a team that can't beat me.
Right.
The Cardinals,
yeah,
have
the Cardinals
talent.
Are a team.
Larry Fitzgerald is
the
a
Rams
player.
Right now. The way right. they're playing, I wouldn't have any
no
concern.
Worry.
Cleveland Browns wouldn't have a concern. There's Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. No chance.
The only thing about
Zero.
This game, certainly Pittsburgh's going to be up for it.
Yeah. Well, and that's another reason.
The Patriots will be a measuring stick. They got beat last year. It's at home. They want to do well, but I just think the Patriots match up pretty well in this team.
I
understand
agree.
Their
they always
defense.
Do. Yeah,
I agree.
As
long as Brady's okay, I agree.
Right. And I'm not worried about the freaking Giants this time either. I think they'll beat them as well.
Okay.
So I'm looking down the road here.
I noticed.
Is the Giants the next game after that?
Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah, the home
then
game.
The Jets?
Yeah. That game I'm worried about. The
Which
Jets
one?
Game. In New York. I'm worried about that game.
So but, that's what percent? What does worry mean?
I don't know how you cannot be worried about the teams that...
That means you think they're going to win?
Talent. I don't know how, just because you think the Patriots are going to win, I don't know how you cannot be worried that they could lose.
It's when I say worried, I mean. I think I'm very confident they'll win.
So you're very confident the Jets will win?
No.
Oh.
So when you are worried, that doesn't necessarily.
So when you're worried, the Patriots win. When you're not worried, the Patriots win.
No, when I'm not worried, when I am
so
worried.
So in the end, the Patriots win.
When I'm,
God bless America.
Sometimes when
go Pats!
Sometimes when I'm worried, I don't take the spread.
Are you emotionally prepared to lose to the New York Jets in New York or New Jersey, as you like to say?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Wow.
But I don't think they will.
So it's, 55% Pats win, 45% Jets win?
60-40.
Okay.
Patriots.
Which, as Bill just said, can go either way. You really can't count on that, right? When he was saying the tendencies and when people become predictable.
I'm not going to lie. I blacked out a couple of times today.
He said 60-40 is not really enough to kind of go all in and feel like
right.
that's their trend.
I agree with that.
But if it gets up to 70, 80, 90, right. now you feel better. He said Nolan Ryan's on the mound. He's going to throw a fastball. That's what he does. And sometimes
I caught
it's okay.
That part.
Yeah, me too. But that was his basic point. Some of the trends, they're a 60% run team. Well, they also throw 40%
right.
of the time.
Right.
That's kind of close.
Yeah, it is.
But you think the Jets are going to beat the Patriots. I didn't say that.
No, I really didn't.
No,
I'm glad you
I know you didn't. And you've never said anyone was going to beat the Patriots.
That's not true either.
Not since 04 or something like that. There's teams that have the talent to give the Patriots just like Dallas did.
Sure.
Just like Dallas did. I mean, there's teams that have talent that if they play a good game, they can beat the Patriots.
Any concern coming out of the bye, even though we're entering the bye? Coming out of the bye, Rob Gronkowski joked, I'm just going to be chilling and I'll tell everybody to stay out of trouble. Any concern that Hernandez, Gronkowski, McCourty, Chung, the core of your young team,
14%
Spikes,
concern. 14%.
Everybody's stealing my shtick now. Peter King, Fred Kirsch.
I'm not, because I don't like it. but I don't
bit
have
him
that.
In the ass, by the way. 2.38% chance that Palmer would be traded or something he went with.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he was wrong there, huh?
See what happens when you steal from other people? You're wrong. Bitch.
I just love when those guys that supposedly have all this knowledge and they're just wrong. I like that. Does that make me a bad
well,
person?
Well, you know why?
I believe isn't that called schadenfreude?
No, I don't want bad things to happen to
them. He probably
them.
Talked to Mike Brown, and Mike Brown said, no way am
I trading. You know what
I'm
saying?
And Mike Brown would be a terrible GM if somebody came and said, I'll give you a one. And what could be a one, but at the worst is a two. You just dig your heels in and say, no, I'm not doing it, you're a bad GM. You're not looking out for the best interest of your football team.
Hey,
but
Cincinnati good?
I mean, I get on Mike Brown a lot for all the things he does in Cincinnati, but you got to give him credit for this one.
Is Cincinnati any good?
I think their defense is playing a little bit better, but I think in the long run,
the
answer is no. I agree. They're not going to be a factor.
A redheaded quarterback.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. But I don't think they're a very good team. If that
yeah,
makes any
I think
sense.
I think they're going to benefit from Pittsburgh having an off year, but I don't think they're going to be ahead. They'll have to be a wild card because they're not going to beat the Ravens.
No, I think the Ravens are going to win the division, and I think they're going to get a wild card.
They could.
And I think Pittsburgh could get the other one. I think they could get three teams out of that division because I think the Jets are in trouble. I think they showed that a little bit Monday night, even in victory. I am not a believer in Buffalo. You know that. Maybe Oakland sneaks in.
I was
going
to say, what about
too?
Oakland? Yeah.
Oakland could sneak
would
in
be
there
the other
too.
Team.
But I don't think Carson Palmer's all that good.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a good
spot. And really, there's no way to know whether did he even play last year? No, right? Or
yes.
Barely?
Palmer, he played the whole year.
Oh, that's right.
Just badly.
Did he even play?
I can't remember. I mean, the guy's
it
been
was
a
the
non-
debacle yeah. with Ocho and Owens.
Yeah. Mike in Rhode Island says, I'm sorry,
you know,
Fred,
but
no.
Here.
No to Randy Moss. If he had anything left in the tank, Josh McDaniels would have gotten the Rams an anemic offense to sign him. Randy had 9 catches for 139 yards with the Pats last year, then went on to do nothing the rest of the year. Ocho has 9 catches for 136. What's the difference?
Three yards.
Two games, but that's the point I made yesterday. I just don't think you got that much more out of him than you did out
Fred,
of Ocho.
Interesting that I believe it's the real one. It's R81M or something, has begun tweeting of late. Random tweets about his management company and this and that. I don't really know him. They're not really personal. They're not really football related. But I thought, in line with your out of the blue theory that he's coming here and he starts tweeting, I didn't know if there was something to this whole turmoil that you've created.
Bring it on.
All right.
But Fred, you need to clarify. You don't want Randy Moss.
Not necessarily. But before I said there's no way he's coming, now I'm like, there's a chance that they would take him back.
I didn't ask you that.
Okay.
Do you want him? Upstairs, you yell. I thought you were selling us for 2 hours that you wanted Randy Moss.
You were.
And then you got upstairs. You said, I don't want him. I'm just saying it might.
Yeah, I don't necessarily. I'm not like, oh, they need Randy Moss right now. No. No. But a few weeks ago, I'd be like, there's no way they're going to bring him back. And now I wouldn't be surprised.
What changed again exactly in the last 2 weeks?
I just think they're weighing against what they've got with Ocho Cinco, and it's like, you know, we could bring Moss back, and he could at least do some things.
What, 9 for 139?
Well, that's the thing.
Extra 3 yards.
No, I really think that his play last year was affected by his mental state. And if you really think that physically he just can't do it anymore, I respect that. That's a fair point.
Well, I'm judging off of not only last year, but the year before when I thought he was markedly different as a player.
He was a declining talent here.
Yeah, I think that he can still do things. And that's, you know, if I didn't think that, then, yeah, there's no way he would be coming back.
So to clarify, you don't want him?
Not necessarily. No, I really don't.
Can I get a yes or no answer?
He really is like a
not necessarily.
Ace Ticket Hotline.
Ace on.
508-298-0398. Dan with the service dog is on the line. Hey, Dan. Dan?
Danny boy, tell the dog to pick the phone up.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you, Dan.
All right. Yeah, sorry about that.
Hey, can you make your dog bark?
She has actually only barked about, like, 6 times.
You know what they say. If she doesn't bark as a puppy, she's not going to bark as a dog.
No, it'd be great, like, if, you know, we could hear from your dog, too.
What's her name?
Her name is Harriet.
Harriet. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you call her Harriet?
That's her original name. Yeah, that's what the school names them.
Oh.
Okay.
Each litter of dogs has like a letter designation, and they pick from that.
Okay.
But I remember actually you, Andy, you had posed a question to me last time. Unfortunately, this is my only day to call in, so I couldn't get back to you till today.
Is this about the food?
I think it was something like that. I just beat our Purina, and I live in like a single dorm because I'm at college, and I'd say about like a third of the room is dedicated to stuff for her. So I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into taking care of them, you know, as opposed to like a normal pet.
Right. She's not a mutt.
No.
She's fine-tuned. Yeah. She's a fine-tuned.
Is she affectionate?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. She loves everybody at the school.
That's great.
Cool.
Yeah, but that's why that's kind of a reason why I'm not a big fan of, you know, organizations like PETA that, you know, call them like slave animals, because I'm like, these are some of the like most well cared for animals, you know, on the planet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, PETA's a bunch of wackos.
Yeah, definitely. But I had a question I want to pose to you guys about Ocho Cinco. Is it really sad or hilarious that whenever I see him, you know, make a mistake or he registers like no catches, the first thing I think of is Taylor Price?
What do you mean?
Like, whenever I see him make a mistake, like, he's just become irrelevant to me. Now all of a sudden I'm thinking of his, well, Taylor Price still on the bench.
Oh, yeah. I think the natural reaction is, why can't we see Price? And is the assumption that he's even worse off? He doesn't know the offense even as well as Ocho does? Or is it just the investment that one guy's, you paid $6 million this year, and the other guy isn't of that stature. He's just a third-round pick, and this team has comfortably cut third-round picks in the past.
I think it feels like a situation where it's just like Belichick doesn't want to give up on him. Like, you see his guy. Because I feel like any other receiver with that amount of production would have been gone by now.
Yes, no question. The Joey Galloway test and everything that everybody talks about, I think there's no question that he's not on the same page with anyone. The only difference is I've yet to see any sort of irritability going in either direction, really. I mean, it's almost like they're disappointed and sad for him more than angry, more than upset. There was body language, there was yelling, there was more of a view that they were upset at Joey Galloway.
Well, one thing I don't see that I did earlier in the season, particularly the preseason, maybe I'm just missing it, but when Ocho was not on the field, he'd be hanging around Bill Belichick, like the kid that wants to get back in the Pop Warner game. I'm not sure he's doing that anymore.
Right. And you might just realize he's not going in.
Yeah.
And that decision is not going to be made flippantly on the field. So whether you're close to Bill or not, that decision of whether you're in the regular rotation is made on Tuesday and Wednesday, not on Sunday.
Yeah, and I might be just thinking preseason games, which is a little bit more loosey-goosey.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm wondering when Brady, you know, forces the issue, because I'm already seeing elements of it. You know, he made, like, the wrong route on that one play, and then he doesn't go back to him again for the rest of the game.
Well, see, that's the thing that, you know, we really don't talk about. And I know Brady's all, you know, like everyone else, has said good things about Chad. But you know Brady. And if he doesn't trust him, but he's not going to waste a throw on a guy that, you know, it's a 50-50, you know, thing.
But he doesn't even have to make that decision now. He's not playing.
No,
their base set
But you know that he has input.
No, I know, but he doesn't have to make any on-field decisions of forcing the ball because right now they're two tight end, two receiver set.
But I'm talking about in the game plan, when they make the game plan.
Yeah.
It's like, how much are we going to put Chad in this game plan? Okay.
Not much. Right, not much.
Not much.
Nope.
You know?
Right, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Pittsburgh game because I know, like you mentioned, you know, the pass rushers they have. And I'm not too concerned about that because, I mean, you look at the last game, I mean, yeah, Ware had two sacks, but it really didn't feel like he was taking over that game. I felt like on plays when they dedicated to block him, they did. I'm more concerned about the fact that at times they had trouble blocking up the down linemen.
Well, don't you think part of that is the emphasis placed on blocking Ware? I mean, that's part of these great pass rushers, not just when they get there, but the fact that the entire pass protection is set toward them to make sure that there is a double team or a chip or a tight end, whatever it is, on them, and that opens up one-on-one matchups elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I thought at some point it was the pressure was coming more from the other side, but then again, maybe that does.
Yeah, everything slides in one direction is a problem. Now, some of it's just guys, you know, Dan Conley missed basically on Jay Ratliff at one point. Now, he looked like he was overplaying him to one side, like he thought Mankins was helping out, so maybe there was some confusion there. But I think that's when you have an elite pass rusher, and Harrison's hurt, right? He's not playing.
He's got that orbital fracture. Yeah.
He's a guy I think that is that good. Clay Matthews, when he's going right, is that good. Peppers, Ware, some of these guys. You are focused in setting your protections and sliding in their direction. That opens up matchups for other guys. It's why we always talk about, you know, even here, if we said, oh, if we could get Jared Allen, that not only would make Allen an impact guy, but maybe Andre Carter would now become a 10-sack guy because he gets less attention.
Well, that's what we talked about Haynesworth and Wilfork,
right?
You know? So,
yeah, that's a big part of those value in those guys.
Sure.
I agree with that. I mean, I think especially with Harrison not playing, I just expect New England to kind of do what they did last year when they played them, where they kind of tried to get them into, you know, force him into pass coverage.
Yep.
And because I think where Dallas made things more frustrating was that, you know, that Ryan style of defense when I think they flooded the field and really their guys just weren't coming open.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Well, yeah, have a good day, you guys.
Okay.
See you, Harry.
Dan.
Dan writing in. Speaking of Taylor Price, Gene is a little upset with, I think, Andy.
Why?
He says, I'm not happy about people coming up with reasons why Taylor Price is not in on Sunday at wide receiver. Andy said the reason we are not seeing Taylor Price at wide receiver is because Taylor does not know the playbook. I would like to know if that is true or if Andy is just making another one of his guesstimates.
It's true. He didn't know the playbook last year, which is fact. I mean, he's admitted that as much. And I have on good sources that they've seen him at practice struggling to be lined up in the right place and getting yelled at by the coaches. So it's not just boom, boom, boom like it is with Welker and Branch. And he's now a year and a half into the system. Any of the excuses that you had, you know, late start, got overwhelmed, rookie, whatever – At some point, those just go away, and you're in year two, and you got to produce. You got to know, be able to get on the field.
Here is what I see. Taylor Price knows his playbook. The problem is Belichick.
When do you see that? Whoa, if Gene can call me out, when do you see that, Gene?
Right.
When do you see Taylor Price knowing his playbook? Because he hasn't played except for one very impactful preseason game. And I don't know if you were at practice this summer. He looked fine on the practice field for the most part this summer. But when do you see him of late proving that he knows his playbook?
Right. He thinks the problem is if Belichick puts Taylor in the game at wide receiver and he plays great, what do you do now with Chad and his contract?
Yeah, that's so ridiculous. It's not even funny.
Belichick always says to us, "We do what's best for the team first." Well, I think, Bill, you ought to remember keep giving us for an answer when we question you. What? Basically, he's saying it's unfair in that he should be given a chance and forget about. But I think.
Can I just say one thing in defense of Bill Belichick
sure,
here?
Go ahead.
The overwhelming evidence with him, he don't care where you're from, what you did,
right,
what you make, how you got here. What is it? We don't care how you got here. It's what you do here. If he thought Taylor Price gave him a better chance to win games than Chad Ochocinco, Taylor Price would
be playing.
Doesn't mean he's right with his evaluation.
No, but here's a little evidence.
I think there's a million examples of guys. Kyle Love plays more than Albert Haynesworth.
No. But to me, there has always been some sort of a strange bond alliance and people saying Belichick and Ocho have some relationship.
Is he being more patient?
And you brought him here because of that relationship. You can get him to do, you know, this is heaven, BB and Pepe epic. And there's this weird tie in between those two that I don't think we've seen
from
other people.
No, and that's
there
true.
Is,
but
if
also
he thought that Taylor Price was better, I think he'd
be
playing.
Well, I also just think he'd play. If he thought he was competitive,
no, but
you'd see more of a rotation.
But
you'd see Branch take a couple reps.
Here's the clue about what's going on. And it came on Monday when O'Brien says, you know, he's one of the best. Ochocinco's one of the best practice guys we have, which means in practice, Ochocinco is outperforming Taylor Price. He's probably better in practice than Price has been, and so Price just can't get on the field. If Price outperformed Ochocinco in practice, Price would probably be getting more chances, but he's not.
Am I the only one that read that whole practice thing as a complete and utter attempt to just prop up Ochocinco?
On two levels.
But I don't think they'd say it if they didn't think it was true.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't think they would. I really don't.
Okay.
You know, and I think
I'm not saying he's playing badly in practice. I just think they're talking about his effort. He's working.
Well, that's
hard,
what I took as effort. Nothing to do with performance. He could be dropping the balls in practice, but he's running fast routes and tight breaks.
I think as yet, you know, people are wondering, well, why Taylor Price? I don't think he's outperformed Ochocinco yet in practice.
I agree. He hasn't outperformed him because if he could outperform him, he'd be higher in the rotation.
I don't think there's any other reason. There's no
right
the contract or the relationship.
But let's make it clear. Ochocinco's not playing either.
No,
but played seven plays the other day.
No, but one of, you know, there's just not enough. You know, neither one of these guys would be if Taylor Price was where Ochocinco was now and outperformed him in practice. I don't know if he'd get any more opportunities in the game than Ocho's getting.
And the other issue is
he would have gotten.
I just
feel
like if he was better, he'd be playing because I think that the overwhelming evidence would suggest that.
But he has to be markedly better,
right?
Because it's just like when everybody tells me the Packers defense stinks too. How come no one's saying the Packers defense has a proven track record and a number of players on that team that are proven contributors to a very good defense.
And
Ocho is a proven NFL contributor.
But
that's irrelevant. They have a track record. The Patriots have zero track record on defense with this unit. Taylor Price doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
He has to earn everything he gets.
You know, people just think about, well, you know, he might be better than Ocho. Yeah, but if you bring him in the game, he's got to take a play away from Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis or Wes Welker or Hernandez or Gronkowski or, you know, anyone else. You know, if we're going to give a play to Taylor Price, we're taking him away from other guys. And that's part of it,
right,
too.
It's the Pat White argument.
Yeah.
Why would I draft Pat White so I can take Tom Brady off the field? I have Tom Brady.
Right. You know?
Is Price going to offer something that makes me that much better that I need to invest in it to build it?
I got to believe in practice they're giving him maybe not a lot, but some opportunities to show something.
Oh, some.
And to this point, he hasn't done it where they're going to say, we got to see that in the game.
Right. And that's the problem with both those guys. It's the same with Ocho.
Right.
He's not getting a ton of reps in practice if he's not getting a ton of games.
That's my point. It's that they're obviously
it's
not
the dilemma we talked
doing
about
enough to get
you,
out there.
You traded for him. You should have known it was going to take him a long time. to learn the offense because you have a relationship with him. You know what kind of football intellect he has. Because once the treadmill
did you? Maybe
well, that's why I'm saying it's Bill's
I
boy.
I know, but I
no, no,
I would
Bill.
Think that,
even Bill, maybe he's surprised at how slowly
I would think
he's
Bill.
It up.
I think Bill had to have a better idea of what he was than we did.
Oh yeah, but I think maybe even he got caught by surprise.
Well, I would hope so. Yeah. I hope he didn't make this move knowing he was going to struggle and giving him $6 million and all that.
He knew he loved football. He knew he was immensely talented. He liked him as a person, all that stuff. But
doesn't he need to do some work or pick up something from the Pro Bowl where he says,
I guess.
You know what? It doesn't really
but
seem
isn't
like
the Pro Bowl more like how the Bengals just go out, here's
probably,
the route?
Probably.
You know?
Probably.
And so that's what you know him from.
I don't talk to him. You talk to him and see if he understands concepts. That's what he does that with draft picks.
Right. Yeah. He can ascertain it from Devin McCourty in a half-hour video session. Why can't he ascertain it from a full week at the Pro Bowl with Chad Ochocinco? And his name, by the way, is Chad Ochocinco. I'm starting to get really pissed off if Felger calls him Chad Johnson. That's not his name.
Well, maybe you know, Chad Ochocinco will stop driving and go into the studio and defend himself.
Oh, I hope it worked physically.
Work with John Henry if he keeps doing it.
No, it didn't.
It didn't work for John Henry.
Right.
No. It may have worked with John Henry.
I'm just saying, that's Felger's style. Maybe he just keeps needling people until they show up in a studio.
I kind of hope he needles them until he punches him in the face and beats the snot out of him.
Oh, I love Mike Felger. He's great.
I find that so utterly unprofessional, disrespectful. Like, he was interviewing Lee Bodden yesterday. He goes, Chad Johnson. I would have said, who the F are you talking about? The guy's name is Chad Ochocinco. I just think that's so disrespectful to not call the guy what he legally changed his name to.
No, I.
I just think that's such a pompous, arrogant.
I mean, would you call Muhammad Ali Cassius Clay?
I'm allowed to call him what I want to because I'm the great Mike Felger, and what I call you is what you are.
Yeah.
No, F you. His name is Chad Ochocinco.
It doesn't bother me like it does Andy, but I know Andy's point.
It's just Felger being a buffoon. That's all.
Exactly.
Because
but so what? That's his style.
With Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and those guys. There's a reason, a very serious reason for them to have changed their names, whereas this is a gimmick.
Right.
You know, and
he was even thinking of changing it back.
But
I do
understand.
I don't know if that's true.
I do understand Andy's point. He did legally change his name.
And it wasn't this month. It's not like it's now what? 4 years?
And if
or
I
something?
Thought that he was doing it, in other words, if he came in here and he caught, he had Wes Welker numbers right now. He'd be calling him Chad Ochocinco.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing
it's
it intentionally needling. To needle him.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's disrespectful.
Well, if anyone is on Twitter who follows Chad Ochocinco, which everyone does because he's got like 50 million followers, tweet him now and ask him to come into our studio.
No, I want him to go into their studio and beat up Mike
Felger. We want Chad here.
We'll call him
Chad Ochocinco.
He's
no question.
I've been watching him a little bit in the locker room and stuff, and I've tried a couple of times to go up and engage him and talk to him a little bit. Not often, but a couple of times. He's not really willing to play along, but he clearly has people that he does feel comfortable with.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ian Rapoport.
Well, I would say Mike Reese
and
Karen Garigian would be the two highest. And Shalice, who Shalice brought a long
there.
Shalice Manza-Young from the Globe wrote a long piece on him. She's very they're very comfortable with him. Curran has been a little bit with her, I saw. But it's odd to me that he's been as reserved as he's been, and again I take it as a bad sign because I think he's not being himself, and I think that's part of what makes him a good player.
Right.
And you know, Andy and I were on this a long time ago, you know, shutting him down, and I'm not blaming this on the Patriots. This is all on Chad. I mean, he's got to get better, but shutting him down I don't necessarily think was the best way to go about this. You know, this is not a correlation. Oh, stop tweeting and get in your playbook. That's nonsensical. Okay, the guy's working hard. He's just not getting it for whatever reason. Something about this is not clicking. I'm not sure taking the personality out of him is the best way to get the most out of him production-wise.
Any chance he gets extra this week? Because there's not enough time to dedicate in a game week to him. Is there any chance that Brady sticks around here and he sticks around here and all the coaches are out there?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Chris, wait a minute.
And you know,
why are we laughing at this? Like, if you think you need Ochocinco,
well,
if you need another option.
No, but if Belichick says I really want them to get away and not think about football, I don't think he meant everybody except Tom Brady.
Right.
Well, but if it's in the best interest of the football team for Chad Ochocinco to be good, now maybe you don't believe it is anymore. Maybe you don't need that.
Right.
But the whole theory was you needed that in the postseason, that outside presence, that playmaker, blah, blah, blah. isn't it worthy to expect Tom Brady to say, can you stay here throughout the bye or for two extra days, whatever it is, Thursday, Friday, and we are going to have Ocho Cinco Passing Camp 101, and we are going to make damn well sure that if it takes 16 hours a day, he's more comfortable when he leaves here on Friday than he is when he gets here on Thursday.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I don't think they're going to do it. And I don't think they think that it's worth it at this point.
Well, then cut him.
It's more important right now to take a little bit of a break.
Do you think there's a chance that that's coming?
No, but I would if that's the mentality.
I think there's a chance it's coming.
Oh, I do. I think there's a chance.
Well, I know you do because you think there's a chance Moss is going to replace him. Right?
I think there's a chance. That's one of the reasons why I started warming up to the idea that, you know, there's not a 100% chance Moss isn't coming back because I think they might cut Ocho Cinco.
That'd be interesting.
I think if you know, to get to the original thing that got us on this topic in the first place, the email about Taylor Price, I think if Price had shown the ability to get on the field, I think there would be a really, really good chance that the transaction would be coming. I think it could happen. I think I wouldn't have said it before the season, but I think it could happen.
I don't eliminate the possibility, and I certainly don't based on the fact that they said he's working hard in practice. They do that with people right before they cut him.
They did it with Joey Galloway right before
Galloway
they cut
with Moss. All we heard was Moss is right. The smartest, hardest, love him, blah, blah, trade.
You start getting some more, you know, get these PUP guys, and they come back off. Right. You know, if they get active and
you need those
all
spots.
Of a sudden your seven inactives aren't seven guys who were hurt, and all of a sudden you got to start having some healthy scratches, I wouldn't be surprised to see him be a healthy scratch.
Trouble is, he's apparently at least second on the wide receiver list of right. That. Price goes first, he's a healthy scratch. And
but
then
if he's going to play seven plays, you know.
That's still six more than Price.
You know, and I need that defensive line rotation.
Because I still don't know when Price played. Did you see it?
I didn't see him. He had to have gone in on special teams
right.
A play that we just didn't see.
Kick return, not kick return, he'd be the returner. So kick coverage maybe?
I guess. I didn't see it.
Another, Mike Reese, he has done a good job moseying up to Ocho Cinco. Look for him. I don't know if he's going to write it, and this is totally just an observation from afar, but he clearly talked to Chad about the play, the one play, the four on one side, because they were motioning, and I saw Chad say, you know, reached way over, and the guy's over here, and then he said, me over here, and they were talking about if it's here, you break in, and here, you break out. So I'll be interested to see if Mike writes anything off of his conversations with Ocho, because they definitely broke the play down.
Chris and Stanford, on the heels of the Ocho question yesterday, and as Andy pointed out, the fact that Taylor Price is being protected by Ocho's inability to get on the field, is there anything to make of the Patriots trying out a couple receivers, or are these just par for the course? In terms of the bye week, what PUP players, if any, do you think will make an impact in the second half of the season, and what do you think will become of the most overblown story about the Pats during these two long weeks before their next game? Or what will become the most overblown story? I think we just talked about it.
Yeah, probably Ocho. Could he be cut? Blah, blah, blah.
Sure. I don't think there'll be anything that really will be overblown, but that could be one. Ocho could be one.
The issue isn't me. Who they worked out yesterday, it's that they tweeted that
they
worked them out.
Well, we didn't talk about that at all.
Well, who did they work out? What they had two wide receivers?
Eight guys, I think. Oh. I think there was two wide receivers.
It was a kicker,
long punter,
snapper.
Long snapper, D-lineman, offensive lineman. Phil Troutwine was one of them. I like his name, so that's why I remember. Dave Rayner,
but that was
kicker.
Interesting in case people don't know what we're talking about.
Malone was the punter.
At Real Patriots, which is the official Twitter account for the New England Patriots, tweeted out the people that were in for tryouts yesterday. And the team has never done that before, ever.
So why'd they do it?
I don't know why they did it all of a sudden. I hope they keep doing it, and I hope we can have it on Patriots.com first. But, you know, so that was something new. And a lot of media people were kind of, you know, caught by surprise there, too. I saw a lot of tweets, like,
obviously,
you know, I can't believe this, and including Albert Breer from NFL Network.
That would be the same thing as if Bill came out on a Wednesday and said, you know, so-and-so has a high ankle sprain on the right side. Probably 2 to 3 weeks
right.
Here he's going to miss. You'd be like, what the hell's going on here? What's the angle? What's
right.
The point? So don't tell me there wasn't an angle to that, especially if we don't get one next Tuesday. Now, this could be a new policy. That's certainly plausible that next Tuesday we get another tweet that says these five guys and that and blah, blah, blah down the line. But if this is a one-time thing, there's a reason. There's a method to the madness.
All right, we've gone a whole hour without taking a break, and this is a bye show. So let's do that right
now. I'm out of here if this is a bye show.
We'll take a break. We got to figure out what we're going to eat, and we'll be right back.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Danny was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts.
But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her.
But
online, I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508
888-298-0398. And the email address is webradio@patriots.com. Down here at the Broadcast Fresh Subway Studios. What?
Or the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, whatever you want to call
Sergeant Mike Conroy says that Bill Belichick calls Chad by Chad Johnson also. I didn't know that.
I've only heard him call him Chad.
Is that
I
true?
I really think of it. I know Hugh Jackson calls him Chad Johnson.
I hadn't heard it. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't bother me like it incenses
me. It does. Because, by the way, Bill has a personal relationship with him, so I'm assuming he calls him that to his face and they're comfortable, whatever that relationship is. I find it hard to believe Mike Felger has had a chat with Chad Ochocinco and deemed, you know, I'm going to call you Johnson. You don't mind, do you? And Ocho said, yeah, I don't mind. You're, you know, we're tight. Yo, yo, brah, brah.
Brah, brah.
Felger thinks it's his world and we all just live in it. That's the issue here. Well, John Kraft. His name is Jonathan.
That's why he's good.
No, it isn't.
Gil Santos told me when you're on the radio, it's only news unless I tell you it's news. That's what he told me. You got to have that ego when you're on the radio.
He said it's only news unless I tell you it's news?
It's not news unless I say it's okay. News.
That's a little better.
That was a little different.
Well, those are two different sentences. The first one made no sense.
Oh. It's not news unless I say it's news.
Kind of like yesterday when you finished our segment on TV. Bye. We'll see. Bye.
Another emailer says, you guys are missing the point with Chad at the moment. He is a backup receiver in case we get an injury. The offense is complete without him. Just flat out, we don't need him at the moment, but we may later in the year.
We don't need him at all? So when Branch is getting shut out of games, we couldn't use another guy?
He just kind of answered his own email. I agree he's a secondary piece right now. That's pretty evident by the way that Bill Belichick is using him. But you don't know if you're ever going to need him down the road.
Mike Claus from Kennebunk, Maine says, thanks for all the work this year on the paper and on the air. Seems like EEI has decided to boycott the Patriots since the fateful preseason day when they were kicked out of the big boy studio at Gillette Stadium in favor of the regulars from Patriots.com radio.
Interesting.
All I hear driving around is drunken Red Sox talk. Time for the iPhone and the Patriots app.
The iPad and the Patriots Football Daily app.
Any chance you guys can grab one of the football channels on SiriusXM? There are 15 of them sitting around unused except on game day. If you had to share a channel with another team, which team would you choose? Well, here's the thing about the... I think the NFL channels
Steelers.
On game day are not... They are... They get taken over by like Spanish station or on non game days.
You think or you know?
Well, it used to be that way. Maybe they've changed since then.
Can
but
you check later?
Those stations were used for other things on non game day, and then they'd be taken over by NFL games on game day.
Can you check later when you get in your caddy?
Sure, I'll try.
No chance.
But look, I had an idea for SiriusXM, where you know they do something like that. They have local programming, sports.
You had the Sirius idea?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I just think,
somehow I remember Indy and I coming up with that idea.
I think a lot of people who have Sirius are like me, you know, sports fans.
They get it for free?
They'll listen first what the local people are saying, and if it's not something they like, then they go to their the Sirius and listen to Stern or whatever. But they always check first what's going on locally. And that's where I think Sirius is losing. They could come up with their own local programming and take that away and start competing with the 98.5s and the EI, and I think it would be good.
Breaking news off of Real Patriots, which we already knew. Ross Ventrone is back on the active roster, and Sterling Moore is on the practice squad. So that means they still have an active roster spot available, right, Paul Perillo? Because they dropped two guys, brought one back.
Okay.
Didn't they sign Phillip Adams to the active roster yesterday?
Oh, yeah, so that fills it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't keep up with the yo-yo jerk-around moves at the bottom of the roster.
Let's see. Dan the Bye Man writes in. He says, hi, Fred, and 2.5 men. That's Andy. I just wanted to raise the question about the deep threat and the pass rush.
Wouldn't it have been Paul, Andy, and Eric would be the 2.5 men? Like, we're full men. He's a half a man.
He's saying you're the half a man.
No, I'm 2.5 men. That's Andy.
Eric is 1. Paul is 2. And you're a half.
Wait, read it again.
Hi, Fred, and 2.5 men.
Yeah. So that's the 3 of us being 2.5 men.
Right. You, Eric.
Yeah. I'm a full man. Paul's a full man. Eric's half a man.
I think he meant Andy.
Why do you say that?
Because he said in parentheses, that's Andy.
Brilliant! What's Andy? The half man?
The half man.
Well, he's an idiot. I'm all man. His wife knows it.
Oh, God's sakes.
I just want to raise the question about the deep threat and the pass rush outside linebacker.
Your wife knows I'm a deep threat, too.
Do we really,
God,
do we really need a deep threat to win the Super Bowl? Who were the deep threats for each of the championship years?
Didn't you read this yesterday, David Patton, I remember
saying? He said you guys skipped my question yesterday.
No, I said David Patton.
We did read. That's exactly the answer he had yesterday. It was David Patton. He's right.
And two, if defenses can replicate kind of what they David have done Gibbons, the past couple weeks, do you think we still need the outside linebacker pass rusher like Jared Allen?
And although not really in a traditional sense, Deion Branch could get downfield as well in 03 and 04.
More in the Wes Welker sense. Now, not then.
Now, I am not suggesting that they have to have a quote-unquote deep threat to win it all. I mean, I think if you can continue your improvement on defense that you've had the last couple of weeks and make this a trend and keep it going, you can win the Super Bowl.
Plus, who was your Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez like tight end presence when you won Super Bowls?
Right.
You didn't have one.
Right. You have something now that you didn't have then.
So there's nine ways to skin a cat.
Shamir says he's from
More
Ottawa.
One way anyway.
He says, hey, guys, since I didn't get to write in yesterday, I thought I'd just mention my thoughts on the game versus the Cowboys. I thought the game lived up to the hype, and the Cowboys certainly made the Pats earn the victory and forced them to play 60 minutes. The game made me think of Aikman and Brady in terms of if both were at their prime of their careers at the same time, which QB would you have on your team and why?
Brady. He's better.
Oh, yeah.
Brady.
No doubt.
That wouldn't even be a conversation for me. And I think that Aikman was great, but not anything like this. Nothing.
Right.
Manning, Rodgers, Breed, these guys all do more than Aikman did to me. Aikman, to me, was the beneficiary of a great team.
Yeah. Great offensive line.
Great everything.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
Troy Aikman,
and he deserves to be.
Yeah. I mean, always forget who is and who I think is. But
he deserves to be. I mean, the guy had incredible numbers, overwhelming touchdown passes, but I don't care, incredibly accurate passer his whole career, but just an immense amount of talent around him too.
Could run the option
back in the day.
TG and NJ says, well, it looks like the coaching staff figured out what to do with Spikes. In my best Paul Perillo, I was going to say, why don't we try having Spikes rush the passer?
Wait, why didn't anybody say this when they did it in week two and it failed miserably? Just because it worked this week doesn't mean they figured something out. They did. They sent, I believe it was week two, right, against the Chargers. They sent him through the A-gap probably 10 times, and he never got there once. Now they're geniuses because it worked once?
Might have something to do with Rivers getting rid of the ball faster.
No, but
he never got through.
The issue is it may not have something to do with Brandon Spikes. He may be doing the exact same thing he did when he was irrelevant in week two, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't mean to ask you.
Anyway,
just so you know, my I was going to say is have nothing to do with 2020 hindsight, because I'm not a big fan of that.
Seems obvious dropping back in pass coverage is not Spike's strength.
But he was supposed to be an instinctive player, including in the passing game.
It's a quiet subject, and I don't want to start a big debate, but this is Welker's contract year. Please, please tell me the team will open up the purse strings and re-sign him. After all he's done and the effort he's put forth and the great play, he needs to be rewarded with a decent contract. I feel losing him will be very, very bad PR for the team from the fan standpoint. I'm not comfortable with the thought of letting him walk, even though he is just a nice little player, right, Paulie? Wouldn't Brady have a say in this matter after letting Asante go and trading Seymour? I can't put it past Belichick to do something stupid again. In your humble opinions, will we see Mayo back after the bye? And who has more catches this season, Taylor Price or Matthew Slater?
Right now or at the
end
of the year?
End of the season.
Taylor Price.
I'm going to go Taylor Price. I'm not going to feel
too
comfortable about
it. What about will Mayo be back for the Pittsburgh game?
Yes. Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's doing TV. He's been on the practice field 2 weeks now. I'm feeling good about him.
It's my favorite emailer.
Who is
Take
it?
Shots at me.
Bill.
Belichick. All the greats.
I am not a big proponent of signing Welker to a long-term lucrative contract.
You're not?
No.
I would have to see something out of Taylor Price or somebody. I would have to see some evidence that this offense can operate a little bit better without him in there before I am opposed to giving him a long-term lucrative contract.
I'm just scared to death I'm going to be have stuck with a bad deal in 2 years. A really, really bad deal.
So what?
What do you mean, so what?
Like, what? Like, how does that really hurt you?
Is there guys...
If you overpay a little bit for a guy who's, you know, been so important to your offense.
And is that because you're saying that because of his size, durability?
Size, durability, production. Age, knees, anything. I am not overly confident that he is going to be a 140 catch receiver for...
Well...
In 2 years.
Well, you don't need that.
I'm not overly confident of that either.
If he's 90 for the rest of his career, then it's worth it, right?
If it's 90 catches at 9 yards a catch, no, I'm not sure it's worth it.
But how does that hurt you necessarily?
Well, I mean, they have a budget. They clearly have a budget. Whether it's a salary cap induced budget, a Kraft induced budget, a Belichick induced budget, there's a budget. And if they allot too much money to a guy that isn't all that valuable, it hurts them. Now, if you assume they just always carry dead money and, you know, this year the dead money's Ocho and in 2 years the dead money will be Welker, okay. But I don't want to knowingly go into something just saying, I know for a fact, flat out, or feel pretty confident that in 2 years I'm going to regret this deal, right? You may be able to live through it, but it's not ideal.
I mean, if you can do that, I don't think you can do that, though.
Do you think there's a better
it's going to be a bad deal? I don't think you can do that.
Do you think there's a better chance he's close to what he's been this year, 2 years from now, 2014 or whatever, 13, or a better chance that he's really close to being done?
Can I pick somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, I think you'd be...
But I said closer to.
How about he's in one of the top 10 receivers in the league?
Okay, then
years.
Fine. I'll pay him. That's fine.
Okay. I think he will be.
Okay. Then I would pay him.
Top 10.
I'm just not necessarily comfortable he's going to be that.
Okay. I think he will be.
Then you should pay him. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay. I don't think he'll to answer your question, if I have to choose one or the other, I would say closer to done than closer to this year. I think this year is going to go down as an aberrational year for him.
But probably.
That doesn't mean I don't think he's going to be valuable. I want to give him that long-term contract. If for no other reason, I think he's earned it. He deserves it. And sometimes you do the right thing. Do I expect him to be 140 catches throughout the life of, a 4 or 5 year deal? No, I don't.
No, I don't care about that. If it's down to 90, but he's still making plays
I think he will.
I'm okay with that.
But if he's
down to 90 and the bulk of those 90s are 7 yard gains
like
and 6 yard gains,
no, I don't think that would
he's
be
not
worth
breaking
it.
A ton of, you know, X yards after catch. Then no, I'm not overly comfortable with
that. But I don't
really
see why. Well, I mean, I suppose you never know what hit is the one that slows you down, and he does take a lot of hits.
I think this year he's taking hits too. And in the first couple of years, I didn't think he took any. I think the first couple of years, was it 2 years ago it started? Yeah, 2 years ago it started. I thought he took hits last year. Maybe a little less this year.
I think he's taking a little less this year for whatever reason.
I still
reason.
Think more so than his first couple of years, and... I have fears of those kinds of guys. All of a sudden, he just looks old, and he just looks like he doesn't have the quickness.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying. Believe me, I understand your point. I just feel like he's been such an important part of the offense, and until you can figure out how you can maintain that production without him, I'm not sure that you can just decide, well, I mean, I'll take him back for $8 million, but not $10 million or something like that.
But that's assuming you think he's going to be that production. Because if he's not that, it's irrelevant whether he's not that or somebody else isn't that if you don't have that.
I think he's going to be a reasonable facsimile of that for the next couple of years. You know, five? Probably not. But
well, I don't think
I think
you're looking at four. If you feel it's beyond two, then I have no problem signing him. I'm concerned that he's going to fall off the map at some point.
Really? Why?
I just think those guys that make a lot of catches, take a lot of hits, and quickness, they lose a little something, and they're not open anymore. They're just not open.
But I think he's quicker now than he was before his injury. So if he regresses
he's definitely quicker than he was last year.
If he regresses to
where
he
was 2007
versus now. I agree
now.
With you on that. I think he's noticeably quicker than our last snapshot,
right,
which was last year.
But
I don't
if you
think
made me watch a whole highlight of 07 and a whole highlight of now, I don't know if I would know the
difference. I think he's stronger and quicker than he ever was.
Well, he's on the good stuff.
Whatever. So if he regresses back to where he was before the injury, then we're still all right.
Maybe.
You know,
is Moss back?
But are you all right if he regresses to what he was last year? Is Andy's point?
I'm not saying your whole franchise would fall down because you gave him two extra years at $2 million a year or something. But I just don't know. We're all about value, right? And good business, and everything is really calculated and looked at from all angles.
Yeah.
I don't want to knowingly go into a deal that I know is going to suck in a couple
this?
Years.
If you sign him to the 4 year deal. you got to figure that by year three and four, you're going to have other weapons.
Oh, God.
That
yep.
You can't. I wouldn't do that and say that he's going to be my number one option in 4 years. No way.
I agree.
Well, already have two guys that may be your number one options in Hernandez and Gronkowski, and you're going to have a slot where Deion Branch is coming to the end. Whoever goes
this
in there.
Is probably it for Branch.
Right. So whoever slides in there.
Right. You're going to need to pick up other guys.
But I'm not even looking at that whole thing. I'm just looking at the whole going into it knowing I'm going to not like this contract in 2 years. Idea of maybe letting a guy go a year too early rather than a year or two too late. That's just my whole, kind of a value-based.
I don't think we're close to having to make that decision.
Like Richard Seymour, when they signed him to that 4-year, $30 million deal, I think you were pretty comfortable. I'm going to pay that deal, right? He was comfortable that he was going to get all of it. You were comfortable you were going to pay all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would feel the same way going into a market value deal about Wes Welker. I feel like I'd be hesitant at the back end of the deal.
Okay.
It's certainly doable.
I'd be more willing to do it.
The Indianapolis Colts may have a deal that they regret immediately on their quarterback who's making $20
million
a year.
Well, that was crazy.
Right.
You know?
But I'm just saying, you can get past anything you want to get past. I'm not saying you end the franchise, cap hell, anything. It's just not ideal with your value-based philosophy.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Larry is in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hello, Larry. Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Larry.
Nothing. We're just, would you pay Wes Welker a long-term lucrative contract?
No.
No.
Wow. I'm a little surprised by that.
My boy, Larry.
I give him about two more years. And okay. After that, it's going to be a drop-off.
That's why you franchise him. You get 1 year out of him at that, and then you got to see what you got to do after that.
Yeah, because a lot of Brady's interceptions is because of those low, shallow passes, and we need to start getting taller receivers.
Well, that's fine. You can do both.
Switch up the game now. Because everybody's catching up now.
Yeah, but I think you can do both. You can give him his money, and you can bring in somebody else. You know, and I think they need to do that regardless. So
the injury and the age is gonna come back to hit haunt him later on.
I think he's found the fountain of youth
in Ray Lewis's locker.
Yeah, that good stuff, huh?
Oh yeah.
But I just wanted to call in. Just the defense was just awesome last game. They're improving. Brandon Spikes was playing a hell of a game, and I noticed that he was blowing up people on his line of scrimmage every time they were seeing him. Which was, even though you don't make the tackle most of the time, at least he's blowing somebody up, gives other people the chance to make the tackle. So it was really good. So I can't wait till Gerard Mayo come back so we can get those shorter tackles for losses. But other than that, and with the receiver, I believe Ocho Cinco is it's time. It's time to either let Taylor Price get somebody or trade for somebody unless the trade deadline is over. But
yeah,
it's time.
I say it's time to let Taylor Price, run the wrong route on the game day field like
exactly.
Ojo does seven times or whatever. That's
if Chad Ochocinco could do it, just let Taylor Price get a chance.
Yeah.
I Miles Austin, they just let him play, and then he had that breakout game, and then that was history.
Sometimes you find guys, and maybe he's a game day guy. I don't know. I like Taylor Price. I want to see him get a chance.
Exactly. And for the draft coming up, honestly, we should go all defense, but at least one offensive player, and I believe it's going to be Justin Blackman from Oklahoma State, and hopefully he won't be too high as other people, but I think he's going to be a high pick, though.
Yeah, I think he's going to be out of our range unless we're really looking to sell out and move up. I mean, you got the two picks, and so if you want to do, I'll be the one at the combine doing, here's the point value you got to get to the fifth pick to get him, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, pretty much it was just that. All right, guys. You're doing an awesome job, man.
Okay.
Thanks
Larry.
Larry. You and I, same wavelength, Larry. Good job.
Dan in England.
Hey, there's Ocho on TV doing his Zig-Tex. See, our circulation manager, Carol Hardy, has those very Zig-Tex, the black with the fluorescent.
Do you think when he does those commercials that
he catches the ball? Or is it commuter? They have to come in and CGI and
I was
going to
wonder if they had to, give him extra help with the scripts.
That's not nice. He's a nice. He seems like a genuinely nice
man.
Well,
but you can say that he dropped the ball. I think he's a ridiculously nice guy.
And emotional. There's some people you get the impression it doesn't bother them. It's not eating at them. It's, not him.
It's bothering.
And that's probably part of the problem.
That'd be funny if Nike signed him. I don't know what they were doing at Reebok, but he just can't figure it out here.
Maybe they were writing the scripts in English.
Dan in England says, hey, guys, in the butt slider. I don't know what that means.
That's you.
That's you.
Oh.
You slide your way into butts.
That wasn't exactly the Da Vinci Code there.
A few months ago, I asked.
He literally goes, I don't know what that means.
A few months ago, I asked you the following would you rather questions. One,
Brooklyn Decker.
Slide,
I haven't said that in a while.
Slide around on your butt naked.
Would you rather, Brooklyn Decker or Fred?
Would
Decker.
You rather have the team win at least 12 games a season and make the playoffs annually for the next 10 years, that but not me. Win a championship? Or would you win the Super Bowl next year, then fall back down to the middle of the pack, 8-8 for the next 10 years?
12-4. Not win the Super Bowl, compete every year.
No, I'd win the championship. I'd rather win
I would take Andy's. Out of those scenarios, I would take Andy's.
I say it the
but
same
you know
every time.
You're never going to win.
But I know it's going to be a good game, and I could win every week, yeah. And I worry about week to week.
I'd rather have a chance to win every year.
But and, he says you don't
than,
win
than,
it.
Than win one who and not this? Have a chance to win any other year.
And who am I when I make this decision?
Just a fan.
Okay, a fan. I want to watch good football
right.
for a long. If I were the owner, I'd probably take the championship because that's a legacy. That's a whole different business, everything. But as a fan, I want to wake up Sunday morning and say, I'm going to go watch a good football team compete and win more often than they lose today.
To me, the monkey wrench in the plan that made me all wishy-washy about this whole argument was the perfect season.
Right.
As opposed to 12-4 every year, but knowing you're not going to win it all.
Right.
But I, you know, I take the same
now,
philosophy.
Now, that's
though.
More than just a Super Bowl. That's immortality.
Right,
so
right.
that makes it, I can see Fred's point, and I can
the
see
the Dolphins
Andy's
are
point.
Still living off 72. Right.
But would you rather have Brooklyn Decker for one night and then the ugliest woman in the world for the rest of your life, or would you rather have pretty hot women every single night? I want the hot women every night, right?
Oh, but you're still getting, it's apples and oranges.
Whoa. Are you Kane? Are you Godfather's Pizza? It's apples and oranges. 999 apples. None of you understand it.
I seem to remember Andy wanting the championship and the rest of you favoring the 12 wins. I would be interested
it's the opposite.
To know.
Fred wanted the championship.
If you have changed your mind, if we go 12-4 or better this season, but don't win in the playoffs, I will see that as a huge disappointment. Well, sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would be disappointed if they don't win the championship. But Fred's the one who wants the singular championship, and Andy votes for long-term success.
I want to be good all the time.
Good.
Great.
But good. It's a hard one. There's a lot of teams that did that. You know, like Kansas City was good for a lot of years and never won at all. And, you know, what are they remembered as?
Right. Loretta writes in, Wes Welker deserves a long-term contract because his work ethic, clutch performance, and position flexibility makes him indispensable, like Troy Brown, like Vrabel, like Falk. Welker is clutch quality, not quantity. So there you go.
Wait a minute.
That's exactly what is his position flexibility?
I don't know.
Punt returner?
Stephen Albany
right.
says...
No, I wasn't really thinking in terms of that.
Didn't Mike Vrabel get traded because he was going to be cut? I mean, did we give him any emotional, he worked hard so he gets an extra golden parachute? No. It's a business,
right?
So make a business decision. Don't make an emotional one.
Stephen Albany says...
Loretta.
Hey, guys, and Andy.
Easy.
To Paul's point about Welker earning the contract, I say give it to him. If he's currently earning more money than he's being paid, then give it to him over the next several years and keep him on the active roster. He's earned it. I think it makes you a DB if you let Welker play his heart out and you just walk away because you don't think the value will get better. Even though he's already given you the value, you've just been underpaying him. So.
What?
That's one of the problems though with a lot of these contracts is you never get the sweet spot. You know, it's always, especially the second contract around. The first big contract usually the guy's in his prime, and you can kind of forecast what he's going to do. But these second big contracts, that's the tough one. That's where it's like, he's
that's
already.
That's why I get Andy's
He's already
point.
Done
do.
A lot of great stuff.
If I could go back and give him $55 million instead of
for
18,
what he's already done,
I'd be happy to.
Right.
He earned every penny of
and
it.
The irony here is I thought he got too much money.
Right,
the
me
18.
Too. But I would go back. But I can't do that. I got to build this business and this football team moving forward.
Tom writes in, I hear you guys on some level, but if they don't give Welker the money, McDaniels would be licking his chops in St. Louis. If you think he's going to fall off the map, rest assured. Look at Hines Ward. He's about to beat Michael Irvin in catches, and he's super old.
Yeah, and I think Hines Ward is a point in Andy's favor. He hasn't been really an impact player in 3 years.
Yeah.
And he still catches his share of passes and stuff, but he's not the guy.
I mean, how often do you get to see his little skippity dance into the end zone?
You know, and I have a lot of respect for Hines Ward, the player, not necessarily his actions at times, but he hasn't really been an impact player for a while, and I think that's Andy's fear. Yeah, he'll still catch passes, but how many plays will he make?
Tony writes in, he goes, pay the man. Are you kidding me?
I like
you're going to let your...
This is good. It elicited a lot of response.
Make your case Friday on Patriots.com.
You're going to let your... No. You're going to let your best receiver go during Brady's golden years? Guess no one learned anything from the 2006 season around here. 4 years, $50 million, 34 guaranteed. Loosen the purse strings, fellas. The guy has
34 guaranteed?
Yeah.
Hell no, thanks.
Loosen the purse strings, fellas. This guy has earned every dime of that money, and the Patriots need him.
He certainly has earned it more than Deion Branch had. He's a far better, more productive receiver than Branch was when he was looking for similar big money. But what did they learn? They went undefeated the year after that.
They went out and got wide receivers.
They learned their lesson. Ooh, a year later, I was undefeated.
2006.
Right.
They probably cost themselves a title because they allowed their weapons to be stripped.
Well, yeah, because they won all those games that they never played. But the bigger issue is they were undefeated.
But don't pretend you don't know the guy's point.
They were undefeated the next year, so it really killed them that they let
the
other
team restock. Because they got receivers. They restocked.
Am I telling Bill, don't sign Welker? And oh, by the way, don't sign anybody else too because I want to suck.
No.
No, I'm telling you, I don't want to invest in Welker because I want to invest in the future of my team.
Well, if you want to spend...
A year after they didn't sign Branch...
You're assuming you're going to find somebody better than him.
If you want to tell me that you're going to get someone better, then I'm okay with that.
Huh?
I'm assuming they're going to replenish the roster.
But I've left that up to them in the past, and it hasn't always happened.
You know, sometimes a bird in the hand is worth, you know, these guys that you don't know about. You know, you're assuming...
If you're going to guarantee me, Andy, that you can get a younger guy who can be as productive, then I'm all for it.
I'm not guaranteeing anything.
Well,
but I guarantee you. But I'm not going to trade Welker in the second week of the season and then be without a net. I'm going to allow him to go in free agency in March so that I have March through the season to plan what I'm going
to
do with receiver.
And hope to replace him.
Do you think that they felt they were without a net in 2006 when they let Deion Branch go?
And you're going to hope he doesn't get old and suck overnight.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I kind of...
Well, if you can hope, I can hope. We can all hope.
Well, I think I feel a little bit more comfortable in the next 2 years with what I know Welker can do than what I hope somebody else might be able to do.
Now it's just a 2 year deal? Because I'll sign a 2 year deal. I assumed it was a 4 to 5 at
my point
$34 million guaranteed.
Well, that's a little bit more money guaranteed than
I
thought.
Paying that.
But, my point was just that I'm pretty confident if it ends up being, you know, the fourth year or whatever is like, oh boy, this is we're not getting the production. I'm okay with that. I'm okay if he doesn't earn the entirety of this next contract
100%.
That I want to give him.
But if he earns less than half of it, then I'm not as comfortable.
But if you don't think he could give you 2 more years?
I don't know. I don't feel overly great about it. I think he could fall off the map.
But I'm not fully comfortable with the idea of. I mean, I don't think they felt like they were without a safety net, you know, with Branch. And as you said, Branch was nowhere near the caliber that Welker was or is. And I don't think they felt like they were putting themselves vulnerable at all. They probably wouldn't admit that they were vulnerable, you know, in 2006.
But I
feel like they were. I feel like they had shoddy play at the receiver spot. Brady's brilliance got them as close as they were. And, you know, I think if they had a little bit more talent at those receiver positions that season, they'd have been at home for that AFC Championship game, and they wouldn't have had that big lead blown.
That's possible. All of that is possible. But I don't think this will play out the same way, because I don't expect this to happen in September. Wes Welker go, and you plan.
Your scenario is probably the one that's going to end up happening, and that is...
Franchise.
He's going to end up getting franchised.
Right, which I think is the smart business move.
It is a very smart business move.
Unfortunately to Wes, it is.
Right. But it's a very smart business move, but do you run the risk of there being repercussions from that? Smart business move.
I don't think so.
Really?
I think I've done a good enough job of re-signing Logan Mankins, re-signing Vince Wilfork, that you can't just say, if you work hard, you won't get paid. I mean, there's $100 million to prove two guys on either side of the line, not even glamour positions, are getting paid, right?
But some guys take it differently than others, right?
Oh, sure. Well,
so
you're always
going
to have guys that could get pissy for anything.
Right. Do you run the risk of him taking it badly? Do you run the risk of him doing what Mankins did?
Sure. There's always a risk. I mean, every decision they make has a risk, and you need to weigh those. I'm saying the risk I fear is he sucks, halfway through, less than halfway through, you know, a year and a half
but
in.
But let's just say for argument's sake that you do franchise him and he does what Mankins did or what Samuel did and
Taylor Price time.
Doesn't, well, okay. That's what I'm not comfortable with.
Okay, but I mean,
because now I'm not necessarily restocking because I think Welker was part of the my plan, and now all of a sudden, well, I don't know, maybe he does the extreme Mankins and sits out 7 games,
right?
Or you know, I don't know what's going to happen in training camp because he's going to boycott training camp like Samuel did, and maybe I don't know what I have, and I don't really have.
Don't
the
you
guys.
Have to gauge that? I mean, isn't that a
again? Did they gauge that in 06? I think they did, but
right. And it's why they're so mad at the New York Jets, because they believe the Jets tampered and then gave Branch the footing he needed to go even further with him and eventually play his way out of town.
That's a good point.
Right? I mean, that's why they were so angry, because the Jets came in and blew up what they thought was
a somewhat
controlled situation.
I everything you just said, I agree with. But as a fan, I was angry because ultimately they misread the situation.
Right.
They didn't think he was going to leave. They
for
thought
a little
that
bit
when
of
push,
money, they could have not
they thought
even
when
had
push came to shove,
that's
he was going to come back.
A separate issue. Right. That, I mean, they could have signed Welker if they had gone to him after last season. We're going to give you a 3-year extension at $7 million a year. 3 years. He might have said, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Now he's not going to because he went out and became the best receiver in football this fall.
No, I listen.
I mean, there's
I don't,
always options. I'm just saying.
I don't think that you're foolish.
I don't like
for
the long term big money option with him.
I don't think you're foolish for that. That line of thinking. I just feel like sometimes there's guys that are different. And listen, I have been as critical, you know, as anybody about Welker because, let's face it, there is no one else who ever has said anything critical about Welker other than me. So I stand on an island by myself. I was wrong. Okay? I was wrong. But I understand your point. I don't want him getting old on my dime. I just feel like he's different. I feel like he's done enough for your team and for your offense.
So he went from totally replaceable to totally irreplaceable.
If we were having this
takes a big man, Andy. You should learn from that.
If we were having this conversation,
I'll put on 25 pounds and maybe I can make these.
Listen,
it's very simple for
me. If we had this conversation in May or June or July, I'd be 100% in Andy's camp. He's done something that I never saw him do in the previous 4 seasons.
But what are the chances he does that in years? What year is he in?
He doesn't have to do what he's doing this year, but he has excelled his game.
Wait, no. Using his own barometer, the old Wes Welker, pre-2011, he doesn't want to sign to a 4-year, $50 million deal, right?
I wouldn't necessarily want to do that. I'd be more in Andy's camp.
But that was what the old Wes Welker was until this very year. If he goes back to being the norm, not the aberration, are you comfortable paying him 4 years, $50 million.
Well, if the norm is 100 catches a year, yes.
At 9 yards a catch or whatever he is.
He's in his eighth year.
He's in his eighth year. So for 8 seasons, he was one thing. Or even if you just want to say, for 4 seasons here, he was one thing.
Yeah, I say yes.
Of course you do.
We understand.
But when they let him go, you'll also say it was the right move.
We're trying.
Because it will be. Sean,
but we're trying to actually offer a little bit of analysis. You know, yes, we understand. Yes, you say yes.
Would you, Fred Kirsch, not the Homer version, just Fred Kirsch, the businessman.
That's Homer.
Are there differences?
I like to think that Fred is a Homer character on the radio, but at times can really offer his opinion based on 25 years of business experience, or however many you have. Would you sign him right now to a whatever that deal was?
That might be a little
million.
Large for me, but the guaranteed even, part.
I think.
Well, I don't want 34 guaranteed.
$55 million, 27 guaranteed.
4 years?
Yes. Or maybe it's 4 with an option.
We get one of the one of those $50 million deals with, well, you know, 23, I 24 million guaranteed.
I honestly don't
half.
Know what the market is now for the receivers. What's
50 million, 20 something guaranteed.
Is he a $10 million a year player? Is basically what you're asking.
Is that what the best receivers are getting right now?
It went from 9 and now it's 9 to 10.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Can we hold on a second?
Why?
What do you got?
Oh, Eric's here.
Hi, Fred.
Black
V-neck.
Yeah, it's wet out. Why are you wearing a sweater?
I have a rain jacket.
Oh.
Also.
Over the sweater?
Yes. Not under it. It'd be awkward. It would be a little
bit
awkward.
What kind of a rain jacket is that? Is that really a rain jacket?
It's the one that Bill from Beaver Creek or whatever it is gave us.
Oh, yes. It's a skiing. Very nice. Yeah. Very warm despite not being overly bulky.
Right. No Brady again today?
Maybe. I didn't take a roll call.
Well, we did, and he wasn't there.
And for the 15 minutes, he wasn't on the roll call sheet.
No Dowling, no Fletcher, which is a little surprising to me. He's been playing with this thumb injury, but the last 2 days he's not there. And we spoke to him after the game very briefly.
He was cranky.
Yeah, didn't look like he was injured, though.
No.
Right? Wildcat strike.
Except emotionally.
Except emotionally, perhaps. Right.
I don't know. I can't talk. I only got one rep.
And Matt Light. Those are the four that weren't there, which means Albert Haynesworth was back out there. Shorts and shells inside the bubble because of the inclement weather.
Now, are they back to their regular jerseys?
Yes. Okay, they were back to all defense blue, all offense white.
After the blue-white walkthrough.
Two quarterbacks in red because, you would have spotted the third one if he was there, which he wasn't. But, we don't take attendance with franchise quarterbacks. We have no idea if they're even under center.
It's true. But Ron Brace, 32% of the time he dropped into coverage at BC 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And Raji.
So there you have it, Fred.
All right. Sean writes in. I think
did we get black jerseys this week?
No.
Yes. Copacabana got one. Someone else. I saw Matt Copa.
What does he do?
He's an offensive lineman on the
practice
squad.
He gets one of those shirts every week, so he must be doing something right.
What does he look like?
It was another guy. White, I saw black. Reese had an update. I don't know. Go ahead.
What? I asked Eric if he was black or white, and I got a
CSC. He's kind of olive-skinned. It's hard to tell.
And he's Italian?
I don't know. Probably not.
I might be thinking about a whole different guy.
I don't have any thought in my mind. It's a blank slate, so feel free.
Dark hair, black beard, a bushy beard?
Not a bushy beard, but sort of like a...
Russian?
No.
I don't know. What's a Copa? Fred, you're the guy who knows last names.
So
is he Jewish?
Copa?
Yes.
K-O-P-A. It could be short for... like Russian, some type of
Kopakowski.
They just shortened it when they got to Ellis Island.
K, K is usually Middle East.
You're Middle Eastern?
Middle Europe.
Eastern European?
Yeah, Eastern
is
European.
Where you're going with there?
Yeah.
Middle Europe? Could be, Middle Earth?
It could be Greek. Could be Greek.
What's Kirsch?
That's German.
Is it?
It's the German word for cherry.
Is it?
Is it really?
It is.
Did you pop your Kirsch?
Oh.
When he was 14.
Sean writes in, I think Andy just argues to argue. Sign Welker. You can't predict the future. You can't afford to lose him, and the Pats don't sign young stud, high-profile receivers.
Right, until they do.
They don't.
They have not, but that does not mean that they don't.
See, here's where I sever ties.
Are you going to tell me if Calvin Johnson became available and for some reason Detroit didn't sign him, Bill would say... He's really good, but I don't sign young receivers.
Just don't tell me the things that Bill Belichick does and doesn't do. I don't like that. I don't like getting painted into a corner.
Strippers writes in, do not resign Welker. Sign Ryan Broyles. He's an Oklahoma receiver, will play the slot in the NFL, is the NCAA pass reception record holder for career, has a chance for most yards in a career, can return punts too. He's 5'10", 188 pounds, and ripped. So...
I don't know. That's kind of gay.
Loretta also says if Belichick had any doubt of Welker's future, he would have traded him this offseason for violating his no-talk policy with the foot soliloquy. Pats couldn't cover him before on other teams. You think they could cover him now knowing what he knows about us?
They can't cover anybody
The
now.
Jets and the Bills and the Giants would offer huge money to him when he is ready for AARP.
The Jets, the Bills, and the Giants? Why just the teams in New York?
I don't know.
Paul's angry.
I don't know.
I don't know. He just turned into Bill Belichick. I don't know, Andy. What are you looking for?
On the surface, I don't think he'd be anywhere near as effective with some of those teams. Certainly not with the Jets. With Mark Sanchez throwing him the ball.
So shouldn't the goal to be to find a younger version of Wes Welker who isn't anywhere near as effective right now, that Paul will say he sucks and he's loose change and he's overpaid, and then he comes here and he turns into Wes Welker? Isn't that the scouting predicament? We have Brady for a couple more years?
Just because I said something that you never, ever will say and that I was wrong.
Well, I said that a long time ago on Welker because I thought he was overpaid. But, when he had his third 100-catch season, I was already willing to say 300-catch seasons is worth $18 million.
Oh, but I was long ago said about...
You didn't say Welker was good until week three of this year when he had a 99-yard touchdown.
That's just poor to me. That's a
You said as of May you wouldn't have re-signed him. So was it week one, two, or three?
To $50-plus million.
He was replaceable for you in May, and he's now irreplaceable, correct?
Yeah, well, you don't think there's been a difference?
I do think
done?
There's a difference, but I think the norm is closer to 9 yards a catch.
Okay, well, if that's what he reverts to, then I don't want to give him $50 million.
So you expect him to stay at 16 yards a catch for the next...
No. Again, there's a difference between 9 and 16, Andy.
I'm using the real numbers. He was a 9-catch guy last year, and he's a 16-catch guy this guy.
So why can't he be 12 or 13?
Maybe he will be.
I want him back then.
So where's the cutoff? How far does he slip? It's the question Fred asked me. 90 catches? If 90 catches come at 15 yards a catch, I'm happy. 90 catches at 9 yards a catch, I'm not happy.
Okay. I'm willing to say I'm still happy if it's 90 catches at, say, 11, 12 yards
a
catch.
So what do you expect him to be?
With 8, 10 touchdowns.
What do you expect him to be?
He is well on the way to doing here. That's what I expect.
Yeah, this year. I mean, has he ever had 10 touchdowns in his career?
No. 8's his career high.
Okay. So he's going back to...
I think there's no signs that he's going back down there.
Okay,
then
you should re-sign him.
That's why I want to re-sign him.
If he's a 100-catch guy at 15 yards a catch and he's a double-digit touchdown,
there isn't an argument. Why is it so absurd that I didn't necessarily forecast this for him, say, in May or June, and now what I've seen has shown me, yeah, he's more valuable than I thought. Why is that so absurd?
Because for 7 years he was one thing, and for a third of a season he was the other, and you're willing to anoint him that. Isn't reason that he's more the other thing?
Well, I think he was more than 9 yards a catch for some of that other
stuff,
too.
He was.
Last year, I think, he bottomed out.
Right, but he was 11. Right?
Yeah. So if he's 11, 12 yards a catch and can get me around 8, 10 touchdowns, I'll be willing to give him that. Again, partly because of what he's done for you. I think there's some karma there that I am willing to pay the guy for.
Okay.
Now, the Patriots haven't necessarily operated under that system. They don't care what you've done. They only care what you're going to do. I don't always operate like that. And maybe that's another reason why, you know, add it to my list of why I could never be a good GM.
But I think it depends.
Because
when.
I would reward Tom Brady and Wes Welker for what they've done, not just what I think they're going to do.
I think
Richard Seymour, to me, I would have tried to re-sign because of what he did for me.
The next time.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to trade him. I would have tried to re-sign him. I'm very glad that they rewarded Vince Wilfork for what he had done, not necessarily what he's going to do.
Wow. I think they rewarded him because they thought he was going to keep doing it. If they just thought there was going to fade, I don't think they would have re-signed him.
But see, I'm not necessarily signing him saying, I don't care if he falls off the map. Like, you keep saying, like, I wouldn't want to sign a deal that I don't think he's going to be able to live up to. No,
right.
if I know the answer to my question, he's not going to do it. No, I don't want to re-sign him. If
so
Bill
you're
says
comfortable.
I don't, he can't
that,
do
that
it.
That was my original question, though. He's closer
I'm
to
comfortable.
This, what we see now, than he is to irrelevancy last year.
Yeah, but there's just such a big gap between those two things.
I know.
I think it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle. And yes, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, so 2 years ago, before he got hurt, 120 catches for 11 yards.
I think he's going
to
end up being somewhere in the middle. Why can't he get better? I don't understand that.
I mean, is it really logical that a guy
then
gets better
then what
in
do we
year
chalk
9
this up
and
to?
10?
Just fluke?
I don't know. I think a change in the offense. I don't think he's being used the same way. I didn't see him running down the seam as often as he's been running down the seam.
So why can't that be an added element of his game?
Because he gets older. You expect less as they get older, not more.
Yeah, but
a guy that has that many catches, that many hits.
There's also something to be said about when a guy clicks on an offense like Welker and Brady do, that there's added value there. That's something where maybe the Patriots would actually be willing to pay a little bit more for that than other teams would.
Rare good
which
know,
is
by Fred.
Kind of the theory with Branch back then.
Right.
I was surprised he got as much as he did on the open market because I thought he was a more valuable Brady weapon than Matt Hasselbeck weapon.
Exactly.
And we learned that he was a more valuable Brady weapon than he was a Hasselbeck
and
weapon.
And I don't really
maybe
care what ends up happening.
With maybe they've learned from that.
If
who's they? Patriots?
The Patriots.
If they end up letting him go, I don't really care like what he does. I mean, obviously that's hyperbole. Yeah, we all care what he would do if somewhere else, but it wouldn't. The reason that I would keep him wouldn't have anything to do with. Well, I don't want him going somewhere else and doing this. If I think he can still do it for my team, I want to keep him. I'm not interested in retaining his services simply because he's had 5 great years as a Patriot.
Right.
I want to retain his services because I think he can continue to be a reasonable facsimile of what he has been this year.
And don't you assume he's going to be better for the Patriots? I'd actually assume.
I would assume
he's
that.
Going to take a step back.
I think Fred makes an excellent
learning
point.
Learning curve, whatever, where he goes elsewhere.
I do, and I think Fred makes an excellent point about that. You know, just that you know, rapport with Brady. You know, he can get better because now they've done everything in this offense together, and there's no reason to think that they can't continue to be a very highly productive duo.
But my fear is he has to be. He has to be a 100-catch guy to be valuable. because of his role. I mean, to me, in his slot role in this offense, it's like the middle linebacker. You can have 100 tackles.
Right.
It's now the question is, where, well, are they impact? You
know, no, I understand.
Are that. They, are, yeah. are you touchdowns? And I don't, he's been great this year. I don't buy this what he is. I'm sorry. I just don't buy it. And we already saw last week. What did he have? 6 for 45? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what if
he's playing the role of me?
What if we see more? Well, he's going to have those touchdowns. He's going to have 4-yard touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's going to have little reach around. I want to know, can he do the 30-yard plays I've seen with regularity through the first 5 games? Because that, to me, is what a $10 million receiver is. You need to be above and beyond. Otherwise, I think Julian Edelman or find the next guy, a stripper's guy at Oklahoma.
I would have said, sound like Paul.
That's why I said it's like role reversal. I would have said exactly what you said before this season.
Doesn't Tom Brady
Julian Edelman
slot
cannot
receiver?
Do what Wes Welker's doing
no,
this
he
season.
Can't. But I'm not sure Wes Welker can do what Wes Welker's doing this
but
season.
But I think Edelman could have done what Welker did
right.
for the most part.
So now
over
you get back
to years.
The belief of, is he truly what he's been for 5 games? 5 games. Not 6 even, 5. Because last week, he was the old Wes Welker.
I just don't think there's that many teams that are capable of doing that.
That may be. And the Patriots have at least the luxury of what? Another 10 games to decide this. But if he goes 5-5 the next 10 games,
maybe
and he has 5 games for 5 catches and 35 yards,
this is why,
changes.
Andy,
okay.
everything changes.
It's a great point. It's
but
great
this
point
is such
by the big head,
a minuscule sampling of greatness.
Sure.
He's been very good. He became great this year.
Right. Well, we're basing
for
it on
month.
What we've seen so
this really
far.
Is.
For
I,
a month.
I never want to hear you question
Andy,
me.
Andy, now
again.
You sound
why?
Like me.
Because
you
are saying exactly
no.
the things that I've been saying.
But now you sound no. like me, where let's rate him at the end of the season when we have all the information.
No,
well,
no. Well, but that's,
well,
no,
obviously
no,
that's better.
Is, no, this
but that's
is different.
The only time
but
Bill that, Belichick has to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. They don't have to make this
no,
choice
they don't.
Now.
They don't.
And they probably won't even have to make it then. They're going to franchise him, like Andy says, too. But you were saying a lot of things about Welker that I have said.
I didn't call him loose change.
Absolutely.
I didn't call him loose change.
I haven't called him loose change in a long time.
It's got to be since May.
But you said a lot of guys could have done what
he's went back
done
to a
up
corner.
To this year.
Well,
I
I'm
think,
consistent. Don't call me inconsistent. I think a lot
think,
of guys could do what Gerard Mayo's done for this team.
I think
record 145
in,
tackles.
I think you plug in slot receivers that can understand an offense, and they're going to give you the production, basically, that Welker gave you the first 4 years.
See, I think he's special.
You don't
and
think?
I always
all right,
think
well, how much
special.
Different is this than Troy Brown, the first 4 years?
Troy Brown was special.
Okay, so now everybody that plays for the Patriots is special. I get it.
Is Julian Edelman special?
No.
No. But he could be.
No. He couldn't do what
you don't think,
doing.
You
I actually
don't
think he could be special.
I actually think Julian Edelman would have
I
want to
see 16 games at 6 catches a game.
And
what
he's actually a little bit more athletic, I
yes,
think, than Welker.
He's a better runner after the catch,
he's
too.
Special. And, I've seen it on punts. You know when you have your ball in your hand? The ball, not your ball. That's the same thing. You're special. You can run.
Now, last year, listen, he clearly was a guy that got affected by limited opportunities.
Yes.
He needed to be in the flow.
Which will be totally fixed if we don't
if
sign
he's
Welker.
That guy, and you're going to target him 150 times a season. I'm
now
guessing,
we get to durability.
I'm
though.
Guessing he's going to catch 100 balls.
Can he play 16 games?
Right.
That's part of the equation.
And that is part of the equation. Another reason why I want to
this
keep
this is
Wes
why
Welker.
Mr. Kraft should let us make the decisions. We would hash this all out and we would come to zero consensus.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
I don't even know what they're talking
this
about.
This would be one of those Scott Pioli, Bill Belichick when they decide to let's move on to the next thing.
But I do think that this is unlike when you try to assess whether or not you had a good opponent. This is right. You don't have to make the decision
no,
now.
You don't. There's no rush.
Because Andy's right. If you get, more often than not, if you get the 6 for 45 the rest of the way, now you can chalk up the first 5 games as a bit of an aberration. And I do think there's an aberrational element to what's happened so far.
Well,
I don't think he is a 16 yards per catch receiver.
The drum beats have started. I mean, Pro Football Talk today mentioned that, how Welker's contract year has gone under the radar. Thus far.
Well, that's because of him.
It's going to start out. Oh, yes.
I wrote it.
But that's because of him. I mean,
he's
flat out said,
bit.
I'll worry about that. I love Tom. I want to be here.
But it's going to heat up a little bit. And you know how the media loves to stir up this
I don't
stuff.
Think it'll heat up until he says something that's in any way interpreted as, I want a new deal. I want to be
more
paid.
More and more people will start writing about it.
But it doesn't have any legs until he gives it legs.
I know.
His little
I
legs.
Understand. Let's see. Tony writes that I'm unable to listen to the show live anymore because of stupid work. They've blocked PFW at the firewall, so I apologize
Why?
If you've already
How do they
talked
do that?
About any of these things. They find out the IP address that it's coming in from, and they block it.
Oh, we've been blocked.
First, I've been noticing that Haynesworth appears to only be as good as his initial move. on a couple of distinct plays in the past two games. I've seen him get stoned by an old lineman coming out of his stance. His whole body gets turned. When that happens, he appears to give up on the play. If he wins or ties on the initial contact, then he seems to exert the effort. But if he loses, that's about it.
Right.
This, for some reason, bothers the hell out of me.
Oh, you almost said it, didn't you?
No.
He almost couldn't find it.
The computer just went black.
He's not a high motor guy, and a high motor guy is the guy that fights through adversity.
On Chad, I'm giving him one more game to make a difference. I said before the season that I would give him until after the bye to pick it up. Is he allowed to work on his game one-on-one with coaches, or is that against the CBA? And are the coaches even around? He can do whatever
he wants. Not against the CBA, but the coaches won't be around.
That's the question of the Andy Hart, Ocho Cinco, Thursday, Friday passing camp.
Also, I've been loving Jermaine Wiggins on the Felger and Maz show, and I love the weekly video breakdown he does with Bedard on the Globe. You guys should try to get him on the show. He's funny, and he knows his stuff. Finally, here's a game for you. I give you two players. You tell me which you'd rather have on your team. As Andy's a stickler for the rules of the game, I am not talking about the Patriots or their current schemes. I mean, if you were starting a team, who would you take? And you must take one.
So no system fit.
Right. None of that.
Right. Well, other than my system. Like,
ready?
If I consider myself a 3-4 coach.
Oh, my God.
Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is the correct answer because he's younger.
Correct.
Mark
and right now, even
Rob.
Better.
Mark Sanchez or Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton.
Mark Sanchez.
But I give him a hair
Sanchez.
Change.
Sanchez.
The correct answer is Dalton because everything jet blows.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Robert
I like that.
Quinn or Ryan Kerrigan?
Haven't seen enough, but I'll go
seen
Robert
enough of
Quinn.
Kerrigan, so I'll go with Quinn.
I'll go Quinn.
My boy, 5.5 sacks.
Correct
in San
answer is Kerrigan. He's a beast. Quinn is not quinning.
Is his
what he said.
Correct answer?
Alden okay. Smith.
I didn't
five
think
and
you
and
would say Brady over Rodgers.
Sergio Brown or Brandon Merriweather?
Sergio Brown. He's still young enough that you can mold.
Correct answer is Merriweather, but you hope the plane collides midair. I don't know what that
means. That's not.
We're on the plane, jerk. So, no, we don't.
Someone's on a plane if it's collide. That's not nice no matter what.
Mason or Ocho? Derek Mason or Ocho?
Ocho. Yeah, I'll still go with Ocho.
Yeah, Ocho. I think Derek Mason's a bad guy.
Correct answer is Ocho. At least he's entertaining on Twitter. And finally, Brandon Lloyd or Wes Welker?
Wes Welker.
My God.
His says the correct answer is both. I changed the rules. Andy liked
it. I did. That was good.
All right.
I like his Jets thing, too. That was good. Good. I didn't see that coming.
Oh, there were no rules until he had a different rule for every question.
I still have seen Sanchez do it in big games and playoff games. And Dalton, I'm not overly impressed with. I think he's one of those kind of winner types. But I'm not overly impressed with his skills.
According to Paul's win-based formula, he's
winning
just one of those guys.
No,
those guys who wins.
In other words, I give him.
I know.
I give him
like
winners.
I know.
He likes losers.
I give him credit for being one of those guys that finds a way, even though he's not that good.
You know who's really good in your formula? The Tufts quarterback this year. He's 0-4.
Paulie and
he doesn't win. Don't worry.
Hey, he throws 100-yard touchdowns.
Yes,
to
just not
team.
To his team, but. Big play guy.
Paulie in L.A. says, you guys are so deep in the forest you can't see the trees. Re-sign Welker, 3 years, $35 million.
Well, I think everybody would be in favor of that. I don't think that'll get it done, though.
3 years is definitely.
I think Andy would be in favor of that.
I would, because now you're limiting the risk. Because I think he's going to be good next year, whatever it is. And then from there I start to worry, but.
You think he wants a longer term?
I think he wants
a
market value deal.
More money.
I'm the best receiver in football. Give me the contracts like the best receivers in football.
Strippers has some advice for the guy who his work is blocking the show. He says if you listen to it on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
you should be all right.
And you can even hear us off the air occasionally.
Or your phone, right? Don't you have the phone device?
Well, if he has an iPhone, who knows?
Well, you can get one.
You could get an Android. You can listen to it on Android.
It's easy for Eric. Just go out and buy a couple $100 phone.
No, I'm just saying, if he has one, maybe he didn't think of that.
I think he thinks of it. He's a smart guy. I give him credit. You shouldn't think so little of our listeners, Eric.
Lord.
What are you sighing about?
You.
You.
Zach in Middletown writes, and hey, guys, just a bi-week email. I was just watching Sesame Street and saw Andy and Eric. Well, it's really Bert and Ernie, but it's all the same.
Which
Everything
one
from Bert's laugh to Ernie's desire to read books instead of playing catch with Bert.
Ernie's
anyway,
the yellow
it.
One, right?
No, Bert's the yellow one. Ernie's the shorter, squatter one with the striped
So I'm
face.
Ernie.
Yes.
Gee, Bert.
But you're taller than me.
But my head's bigger.
Yeah.
And I'm cooler.
No.
Andy, you do kind of look like a Muppet with that big head.
You kind of do. I wouldn't mind being a Muppet.
No? You like somebody with the hand up your ass?
Ba-dum-bum!
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in
His
Progress.
First funny joke in 5 years, and he closes the show on that.
He has to do it 2 minutes early.
I feel like it's the end of the week, but it's not. It's only Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow. John Rook is here for Patriots Playbook. Just dashed in.
It's Game Show Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. And I saw Kevin was working really hard this morning, getting all the music
he
ready for
been.
You and all that
stuff. You're going to be totally blown away.
And you're
going to
be giving
today.
Away stuff?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for the help
Caps
of that.
Caps and T-shirts.
Caps, T-shirts.
A free subscription
and
to PFW.
A free subscription to PFW.
Is this
today.
A rating stunt? Know. This feels like a rating
yes.
stunt.
Yes, it is.
<That's>
no,
right.
We're gonna, it's bi-week fun.
Hey,
merriment and mayhem.
Ratings stunts work in Boston, as we.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the Red Sox players, they go out and they drink.
Right.
Ratings stunt.
All right, right, so John's coming up. Oh, that's going to be good. A lot of prizes to be given away and a game to be played. And Kevin's been working on it, so that's good. And then Pete Shepard will be in at 4 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.